welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Teresa Strasser. Good morning, Brian.
Well,
I got a mail yesterday that said I stopped saying hello to you, Teresa.
Aww.
Some guy just said, do you know that you don't say good morning to Teresa anymore? I wrote back, no, I didn't notice. So, good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Thanks, Danny.
Well, I thought I say hi. Well, yeah, see. Okay.
I never thought there were, rules about it.
Nah, well.
Because I remember the first time I said hi to Brian after the, we went to break, he went, hey, thanks for saying hi to me. And after that, I was like, well, what do I do now?
Well.
Are we in love?
The, he considers that first base, by the way. Is a very abridged diamond.
Well, thanks for not getting to know me at all. There is no first base. You can just ask.
The anything you do more than 2 days in a row in radio is now protocol.
Yeah, we had a thing in Chicago. If you said it twice, it was on a T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
interesting.
And it was true, too.
That was on a T-shirt, too, right?
I used to say, I used to say, somebody would say something really cool, and I'd go, dig that, just like that. I mean, almost that exact inflection, because it became important, and we must have sold 5,000 copies of the dig that T-shirt.
Say it one more time so we can get a T-shirt.
The exact way you say it, dig that.
Yeah.
And people would call up. I never heard it before until I heard Tom Likas, and they'd say, blow me up, Tom, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody else... like, had a phrase people would call and say, please say that to me for no reason. It's like, you need to talk about naked chicks or something. So I go, wow, dig that.
Good times.
Put it up.
I was at the Playboy Mansion last night
for
the pot smoking reunion or whatever the hell goes on over there. I don't even know exactly what it is other than at some point, I guess when I was doing a little late night TV a few years back, it had been brought to my attention that the country spent more on weed eradication than it did on speed eradication. Right. And I went off on one of my many diatribes about who cares about weed. The hell are we doing with weed? And somehow they picked me up and adopted me, and I became indoctrinated into this legalized pot cult.
A funny place to find you.
Yeah, I don't... you know, it's a weird, there's this weird thing in life where I'm only so interested in certain things,
right.
And I really mean it. Like, you know, sometimes people will say, like, do you like this guy? And I'll go, no, but that doesn't mean I don't like him. And people go, well, what is it? You don't like him? And I'll go, no, I don't really think about him. And they'll go, so you don't like him then? And I'll go, just because I don't like him, or just because I do say that I don't like him doesn't mean I have anything against him. I'm just saying that I don't, you know, it's that kind of thing where you can't say anything about anything without even being pro or con, black or white, left or right. For me, I don't really smoke weed anymore.
That's why I said it was a weird spot to find you. I could see you at the Click It or Kick It pink campaign or whatever it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what I listened to on the way in. And by the way, when you're a madman, you're kind of a madman. I didn't really know that.
I do go insane, yeah.
Because I've seen him yell and then, you know, get back to what we're doing. But there was no stopping you, man. All of a sudden, your dog was in the car.
Yeah, I go berserk, but
you do. I like that. It's fun.
Sad. I know. My kids will experience that one day when daddy's driving.
Because something horrible will happen around here one day, and you'll have done it, and not me.
It didn't even have to be horrible.
No,
I would have done it. Yeah.
You know, something horrible to happen, and then for all of them go, oh, Bonnie, did you kill that guy? And we go, no, man, no. He didn't click it, and Carol killed him.
I can get fired up about stuff that I'm not involved in.
Right.
And I don't smoke pot. On the other hand, I don't have anything against pot, and I want everyone to have the right to smoke pot. And I was being interviewed by somebody, and I said, look, as far as this country goes, it should be treated like a pyramid. At the top of the pyramid is terrorism, is lack of education for the kids, is crime. And then we move down toward the middle, and we have potholes and graffiti, and then somewhere at the very bottom of the pyramid is pot. We'll get to that when we've cleared up everything else.
Right.
I don't understand the concerted effort the government puts into eradicating weed. By the way, nice job, guys. Everyone was blowing spleef over at the Playboy Mansion last night. So this is, by the way, I'm basing this on you being able to do something about it. Evidently, you can't.
No.
Right.
We've had a little 40-year experiment. you guys have gotten an F minus across the board. So let's just say you could get rid of pot. Let's just say it did hurt people and, you know, drug lords didn't get rich off it and so on and so forth. Even then, I wouldn't want you to do anything about it. But the fact is, the plain truth is, you can do evidently nothing about it because my friends who smoke weed seem to have a ton of weed on them at all times.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be very difficult to acquire weed.
One of my weed buddies went with me, and my wife commented while he was standing in the kitchen saying goodbye that last night to my wife and the kids that he smelled like weed. And he said, oh, it's because he had weed on him. And she said, well, you can smell it. And he said, well, don't worry. I have it wrapped up double tight in plastic bags. And she said, but I can smell it. And because he smokes a lot of weed, he said, I got you. That's why I wrapped it up extra tight. And I was like, yeah, but I'm standing 5 feet away. See, pot is so good now, you don't have to light it. Used to be you had to spark it up to smell it. Now you can smell it coming through the guy's jeans when it's wrapped in foil because the spleef is so good.
And it's so sticky when the cops turn the lights on, you go to throw it out the window. That bitch is stuck to your fingers.
Oftentimes, the back of your head, you throw it, the wind will hit it. You have a big bud on the back of your head.
I got a bird just flew off over my head.
I have no idea. That's why it was called sticky.
Pot is,
I didn't know it was literal.
Is beyond good. I was explaining to one of the guys.
I can't do it.
Reel it in. Yeah. I said, put the NASCAR restrictor plate on the weed. This thing's getting dangerous here. The speeds are too fast. It's getting out of control. But look, do what you want with the weed. And like I said, as far as the government goes, I would rather have 500 pot smokers living next to me, across the street from me, around me in my community, than one meth family living across the street. One. And I don't know a human being that wouldn't take those exact same odds.
Not one that is informed. I mean, you know, there are some people like...
drugs are drugs.
There's drugs are drugs, and there are people like my wife who would... You know, I want people to have the right to do what they want as long as it doesn't harm others. Mm-hmm. She's not one of those. If she were queen, people would have no rights to disagree with her on any moral issue at all.
But... even she would probably rather have the pot smokers than the meth heads in the neighborhood.
The point I was going to make that was really not about her, that you have to know a meth head. Because there are people who can do what you would consider serious drugs and still function. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a guy, I'm certainly not him, but I know a guy, my best friend for years and years and years, could do cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
I could never do cocaine. That's all I would, that's until my nose would bleed. This guy would go... He'd buy it by the ounce to save money, where all of us were buying quarter grams and stuff.
All right.
And he'd go, you want a toot? And we'd all go, yeah. And we'd go, and we'd get one up one side. And they'd go, okay, what do you guys want to do now? And the answer for Dave and I was, well, all the rest of your cocaine and then your sister.
Right.
It would be the answer there, Scott. What are you talking about? And he'd say, let's go to the movies. And we'd drag our ass to the movies just so when it was over, we'd get back to Scott's house to get more cocaine. And he'd do another snort and then say, okay, I'm going to bed. I'll see you tomorrow. And Dave and I would sit outside his room and think, how can we break into Scott's room, steal all his bone, and not know it was us?
Yeah. And you don't have the alcoholic gene, that guy.
Right.
Yeah,
that guy could do it. Like, that amount of cocaine would last him forever. He never did anything wrong. He didn't lose weight. He was great at his job. He could just do it. So if you don't know a tweaker, you don't know how dangerous, when Adam says, I'd rather have that than one tweaker in the neighborhood, how right he is. If you don't know, they're just, it's the worst, man.
Well, and that's the thing, too, as far as our government goes. I mean, we don't discern between the horrible drugs and the benign drugs.
Right.
There's no drugs that are good. Drugs are like insects.
I vehemently disagree with you on this.
Well, they're drugs. Well, what I'm saying is drugs are like insects in the sense that you don't want anything crawling around inside your house. But a moth isn't really going to do you any harm. You just don't like to see it fluttering around inside your house. But then there's wasps.
Right.
And if a wasp is inside your bedroom, you're not going to bed at night. Whereas if a moth is fluttering around, you'll let it go or shoo it out or whatever. We need to have that policy with drugs. There's a huge difference between the benign ones and the ones that do damage.
Pot is like a butterfly.
The one that you described, there are drugs that will make you think the moth is a butterfly or it's fine. And then there are drugs that will make you think that the hundreds of mosquitoes in your room, they're not really there. You're just seeing them. Those are bad drugs. The drugs that make you go, get the rats off me! Those are not good, fun drugs to have at parties.
I concur wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
I'm just saying not everything is a 10. There's some right. drugs that are 10 and then some are 1s. And as a society, I want us to focus on the 10s, then we'll go down to the 9s, and eventually we'll get to the 1s.
Why?
And maybe that's weed.
Let's get to the 3s and stop.
I agree. I agree with that. I'm just saying if you want to eradicate drugs, or you want to declare a war on drugs, fine, knock yourself out. Doesn't seem like you're doing a great job. Start with the big stuff and work your way down to the Heshers. Right. That's all I'm saying.
One is, let's start right. with the people that, when you go down and you give your 20 to the dealer on the street, and he gives the wad of 20 at the end of the night to the guy with more guns, and he gives it to the wad of 20 and ends up in Pablo Escobar's hands, and he's got a rocket launcher and he'll bring down planes.
Right.
Let's stop that guy. The guy that wants nothing more than to remember the Domino's pizza phone number. That's all he wants out of life. Let's right. leave that guy be.
I wholeheartedly agree. We need to take ourselves a break. So that's where I was last night over at the Playboy Mansion, taking pictures with dudes. Almost no chicks that much into weed.
Yeah, I know.
Nah, it is. It's a man's game, the weed. True. I mean, there's chicks that smoke weed. They just yeah. don't come out and support it. I don't know what it is. There's a couple of Playboy Bunny ringers that have been tossed around. Yeah. One for every 300 Heshers that I took a picture with.
Sounds right.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Good news. Pamela Trunkerman.
I think her name's...
Truckerman. Truckerman. Pamela Druckerman, who authored a book, Lust in Translation, These Are the Rules of Infidelity, from Tokyo to Tennessee.
I guess she's faithful in both those places.
She went out, those are euphemisms for different parts of your body.
Right.
She went out and visited 10 countries and interviewed adulterers and figured out what the game was. And yeah, we've talked about this before, which is, you want your marriage to last, let your husband step out every once in a while. Get that, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and do that. Europeans are geniuses and everything. But you go over there in France, the guy's a successful businessman. He's 55 years old. He has himself a nice 22-year-old sweetheart he gets to nail once a week. And his marriage to his 55-year-old wife, who he's been married to for 33 years, goes on forever. Right. And they both attend the funeral when he passes
on. My perfect setup, which I never actually got, but I did try for a while when Gretchen and I were actually in counseling about having no sex at all,
mm-hmm.
was that I would get this girl that liked me. There were girls that liked me. It wouldn't be like I was going to go out and set up. You know, mm-hmm. There were girls that already liked me. Put them in a $2,500 a month apartment, and I'd pay that. Mm-hmm. They had to pay for the rest of their lives, but for that $2,500, they were kind to my girlfriend twice a week.
Right.
That would be the perfect marriage. And I'd be mm-hmm. gone 2 hours at a time, so I'd be gone 4 hours a week. It turns out at the end of my life, graduate life, I'd be gone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 years, unless I get killed today, which would probably put a little grin on her face this morning. But I understand that. If you let a guy just blow off a little steam, you'll probably last longer.
Yeah. Well, not...
S.O.V.
I mean, look, a lot of guys, the relationship gets ruined because they step out, they get busted, and the relationship's over, so you eliminate that part. But you also kind of eliminate the... I don't know, maybe you become like the dad that says, I'll get you the six-pack and you can drink it in the living room when you're 17 instead of getting popped at the park with the Mickey's Big Mouth. Maybe there's an element of that. I don't know if it's a great strategy, but, well, we'll find out. Yeah. We'll talk to Pamela.
Because if you're going to announce my bachelor
Druckerman,
party.
Yes, it says Druckerman. Probably Angie.
Angie typed
that up. Druckerman.
Well, I'd like any of the girls that plan to attend my bachelor party at the Key Club, I believe the 31st, to really listen carefully to this. Because it is my intention to remarry. Sometime this afternoon would be good, but apparently you have to get divorced first. Mm-hmm. But I'd like you to listen really carefully to this if you'd like to be the next Mrs. Bonaducci. You might want to pay attention to this next segment.
All right, we'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
Top of the morning to you, peeps. Today we got Survivor winner Earl Cole, the guy who hosted the Gong Show and wrote Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, Chuck Barris. And we'll talk some more about Danny's bachelor party and Teresa's disastrous dating life. Ah, why don't you two just f***ing get it over with?
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
done and done.
Literally in that much time. I could have done it during his announcement that we should do it. I wouldn't even have messed up your hair. You'd still look exactly the same.
Hair does look good today, T.
Yeah, you look beautiful today.
Thank you.
This is getting to you, I think.
Pamela Druckerman is on the line. Pamela is calling from Paris, France. Everybody, Pamela is the author of Lust in Translation, The Rules of Infidelity from Tokyo to Tennessee, I guess around the world. Pamela?
Hi.
Good to speak to you. What time is it where you are?
It is 3:21.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's talk about your book. Well, first, your past, you were a former correspondent for the Wall Street Journal.
Yes, I was based in Latin America.
And you live in France full-time now.
I do.
And what motivated you to write this book?
That's a good question. It partly came out of my experience as a foreign correspondent in Latin America, and seeing that the rules of infidelity were quite different there than they were than they are in America.
What place, because they all vary from culture to culture, what place makes the most sense to you?
That's a very good question. France, I think, you know, it's hard to do infidelity well when you have love marriages. It just, you know, a third person entering the picture tends to shake things up no matter what. But I think the French are a little more sane about it than we Americans are.
In what sense, sane?
Well, you know, in America, we take this sort of fairy tale story of marriage very seriously. And if there's a rupture in the story, like an infidelity, we assume, you know, the marriage itself has been a lie, and, you know, we might as well just divorce.
So,
whereas in France, I think they expect it as sort of an unfortunate part of the story.
Right. So in a way, we sort of put the bar a little too high and set ourselves up for disappointment.
We do. We also in America are really kind of obsessed with honesty in relationships, and all lies kind of rank equally. So the mantra in America is it's not the sex, it's the lying. So not only do you have to repair the sexual betrayal, but you have to sort of write every lie that has been told in therapy.
Well, you know, that, I must say from personal experience, which is sad. My name's Danny, by the way. How do you do? I am, my wife just recently, within the last, what, month, filed for divorce after 17 years.
And I'm so sorry.
Thank you. So am I, actually. But in her culture, which is my culture, but she's also a very religious woman, there is no recovering from this. There are other problems in the marriage, but the fact that I was unfaithful is this unforgivable sin, when in every other aspect of her life, I have treated her like the woman I love and has taken great care of me and my children. But that you just can't recover. Are you saying that you should be able to recover from that if there's not other terrible deceits in your... If it's a basically good structure foundation marriage, it can be saved?
I mean, I'm not a therapist. I'm a journalist. But I did see when I was researching my book a lot of cases where people, you know, bounce back. They worked through it. And in America, you know, there's almost always some kind of therapy. But they got to the bottom of it, and they didn't see it as an, you know, irreparable problem. But, I mean,
yes.
The script that your wife is... The rules that your wife are following are very much the sort of letter of the law in America.
Well...
So you're not alone, certainly.
Do you think we're... It's sort of in this country a little bit hypocrites in many facets of our society. There's the one we say we're going to be or aspire to, and then the ones we actually are, you know. Like,
yeah.
I think we just pretend. I don't know if it's religion. I don't know if it's something that's in our culture where we like to think of ourselves as people that won't tolerate this and won't tolerate that. But the reality is there's a lot of it going on. And maybe in Europe, they're just more realistic. Maybe European women understand that men like to have sex with multiple partners, and it's nothing personal.
Can I jump in here, Pamela? Are the rates of infidelity equal for men and women? Because we're just talking about men. I wonder if it's the same.
Well, it depends on which population you look at and where you look. In America, if you look at people under 40, they're almost identical for the rates for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, in the whole world, men cheat much more than women do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Why do you think it's equal here in America and not so in other parts of the world?
It's a little something called the P-Whip Factor, which is going to be my next book. We're on a short leash over here. I mean, the reality...
Well, we're on a long leash.
Well, here's the reality. If I want to cheat, I risk destroying my relationship, destroying my family, and half of my income for a long time. That is like saying, if I want to bring drugs into China, I risk having my hands getting cut off versus bringing them into San Francisco, where I risk a fine, perhaps. So maybe the fines...
I think that really does keep people from cheating.
Well,
that fear.
Yeah, these are what laws do. I mean, this is why when you get locked, you know, this is why you better think about it before you murder somebody. You can spend the rest of your life in prison versus speeding.
Right.
So in France, this is a speeding ticket. In here, it's a life sentence.
Yeah.
It's not as much of a deterrent.
Right. Well, really, it really is. And I believe that's got a lot to do with it.
Yeah. No, Americans, in fact, do not cheat very much at all. They cheat about as much as French people do and people in other wealthy countries where there's a lot of equality, as you were describing, between men and women.
Right.
About 4% of American men and women say they've had more married people say they've had more than one sex partner in the last year.
Who, you shouldn't interview them in front of their partners, though. That's a tip.
Well, I'm surprised, only did you say 4%?
4%.
In the last year. Yeah.
Dude, I gotta check what time it is.
I've gotten in trouble by answering that question, calendar year or fiscal year, because I work differently.
Right.
But, like,
I go with leap year and skip that one day.
Pamela, what country or culture does the most cheating?
Okay. Well, if you look at the whole world and you look at the statistics we have, it's sub-Saharan Africa. The most infidelity goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's partly a function of the fact that we have so many statistics now. Right. So much data on Africa because of HIV.
There isn't anything else to do. There's not even food. So let's do some fornicating right now.
But one place where there's, in the sort of industrialized world, where there seems to be the most adultery is Russia.
Oh, Russia.
Yeah. Hmm.
How do you account for that?
Booze.
Freezing.
People are loaded.
There's crap on television.
I think climate does play a part.
I think so, too. But the other thing is the life expectancy of Russian men has fallen from 65 to 58.
No.
So by the time you get to be a six-year-old Russian man, there are so few of you that you sort of have your pick of women.
Interesting.
Guess where I'll be going.
What's going on in Japan? The title of your book, Lust in Translation, The Rules of Infidelity from Tokyo to Tennessee, is what are the differences in Japan in terms of cheating and adultery? What's acceptable?
You might be interested in this expression that I heard from Japanese businessmen, which is, if you pay for it, it's not cheating.
I cannot agree more.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
then that's followed closely by, if you don't get caught, it's not cheating.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you pay for it, nothing personal.
Right.
Right.
That's totally true. The other one's kind of a joke, but yeah, you don't know their names. I mean, there are some sad things. I told you guys this one time that I happened to go into a place of ill repute 20 years ago, maybe longer. It doesn't even exist anymore. But it was the day or two after either Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or some romantic day, and there were bouquets everywhere. And customers really get attached to these women. I mean, they're very godly, really sad men, but I'd never seen anything like it. You know, that would be still cheating in my book. But if you go in and you get a massage with a happy ending, how cheating is that?
Well, let's stick with your massage theme, which is every woman I know loves getting a massage.
Yeah.
She gets naked. She gets under a napkin and some guy basically gets to third base with her. Now, if you came home and your wife was getting this from a guy she wasn't paying, that's cheating.
Right.
But if they paid the guy, ironically, if you paid the guy $120 to come to your house and do it, then it's not cheating. So I would say this is not cheating when you pay for a prostitute as a guy.
You have also just possibly saved and changed my life for the better forever.
Thank you.
Can I just go over there and lick the side of your face?
Sure.
Why you guys are doing
you
got
to pay me so it's not cheating.
Right, exactly. Gretchen and I, my wife who filed for a divorce, we live in a very big and expensive home, and we need to sell it before we physically split up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a rule, no men or women in this house of any kind unless they're under our employ, because they're working there and stuff.
Right.
I never thought hooker.
Well, yeah, they're on the payroll.
She's totally on the payroll.
Well, Pamela, I know this is hard to quantify, but from your experience, who do you think is more forgiving, men or women?
It depends where, but probably women, because in a lot of places they have to forgive because they can't financially make it without the husband.
And in some places, don't they kill the women still?
That'd
be a deterrent. If I came home and my wife was going to set me on fire, which wouldn't shock me a whole lot, but just say it really happened, you know, that would be a real deterrent rather than, you know, no dinner.
Well, Pamela, do you have any stats on where the marriages last the longest?
marriages last the longest? I mean, I would probably say anywhere but America, where it's not considered, you know, a sort of firing offense right away.
Right. So we statistically get married or divorced the most frequently, and marriages last the least or least amount of time.
We do, yeah. I mean, I don't have statistics on affairs, any marriages all over the world, but I mean, nobody else has the strange rules that we have in America where, you know, from the very beginning of the affair, you're supposed to feel very guilty about what you're doing. You know, people don't, in America, don't even technically have intercourse because they want to have deniability to their spouse or just to themselves.
Right.
And
sure.
You don't have the demonization of the person in their whole community or having to apologize to their employees and their constituents.
Yeah, I wonder, I know there's a ton of shame around something that it seems like we can't stop doing because it's built into our fabric.
Yeah, we're not naturally monogamous.
And so the bar's too high, and thus they don't get the fairy tale whatever, and we're not ready to be monogamous for the next 50 years. Maybe we should lower the bar a little bit and thus extend the relationship. I'm going to have this speech with my wife when I get home. Yes, go ahead, Pamela.
It's interesting. I found in doing my research that even religious Christians in America are lowering the bar, as you say, and they're saying, you know, we have so much divorce in this country, we're going to have to figure out a way to recover from affairs and not just end marriages after them.
Well, are you married yourself, Pamela?
I am.
Would you like to have sex with me and see if this whole theory pans out?
I'll have to run it by my husband.
And I know you.
I'll run it by your husband. That's cool. I'll go whatever way this works out for us.
You moved to France. Is your husband French?
He's English, but I moved here to be with him. He was here.
Good times.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be there in about a month. I'm going to Le Mans.
Nice. Now, does your husband have a woman on the side?
If he does, he's extremely discreet about it.
Good for him. That's a trick I should have learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in America, also with open marriages, we tend to think open means you tell your spouse everything you've done.
Right.
And so the marriage then collapses. Whereas in other countries where I even saw people who were sort of consider themselves to have open marriages, it was a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever been cheated on, Pamela?
By my husband?
By anyone you were in a relationship with?
That's a good question. I'll send out some emails after we hang up.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to assume yes on that, but... you know, that will happen, especially growing up. It doesn't mean it happened this year. What would you say is a better answer, that we accept some of the cultural differences between America and other countries and make it a little more acceptable, or try and force our beliefs on other countries and stay the way we are and stay stagnant in the monogamy ring, if you will?
Well, that was a leading question.
Sure. We know where it's
headed. Dude, I spent a lot of time in court.
That I thought was really interesting because you asked if anyone had cheated on me.
Yeah.
Is it dating? You know, we have such high expectations of marriage and we should be faithful as soon as we're married. But dating is a very promiscuous time in America where lots of overlapping relationships happen and everyone sort of accepts that. It's only when you kind of cross the finish line to marriage we're all supposed to become magically monogamous, which you don't have in other cultures. Dating is much more of a monogamous period.
I found that men, in at least my opinion, are way worse than women. That a man will cheat and look at his wife and say, are you kidding? What are you this mad about? It's not like I like her or I love her. I'm not leaving her for you. I'm sorry I did it. And really believes that should be the end of it. Where if my wife or any woman were to physically cheat on me, hold hands, kiss in the moonlight, tell a secret, and then make love, like real sex, real making love, I don't know that that person would be safe. I don't know that I could contain it. I'm deadly serious here. I don't know that I could contain that kind of, if I found out somebody had been naked with my wife or girlfriend that had been in some way betrothed to me,
well,
that anybody would be physically safe.
I know a lot of guys that don't get to go to strip clubs or bachelor parties.
Right here.
Not only do our rules in this society pertain to infidelity, but it's anything close to. I know guys who can't keep
not allowed to masturbate.
They can't bite your tongue, baby.
How do you enforce that?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of women that don't allow any pornography in the house and that sort of stuff. So you are
three of mine already, man.
See, here's what happens, or here's what I think. Ultimately, I'm not just rationalizing here, but it's like when there's some really strict step parent that sets the curfew at 9 o'clock and doesn't let the 17-year-old girl wear makeup and so on and so forth, and she can't date. Eventually, she crawls out the window.
Yeah.
Right.
And goes out at night. You have to give people some room. You tell your husband no strip clubs, no bachelor parties, and if I so much as see a Sears catalog with the bra section open in this room, we'll get a divorce. Eventually, the guy is going out and he's going to get a prostitute. Yep. He's going out the window.
Yeah,
see, you forced me.
I mean, a little bit more realistic in America, and they're saying, you know, if you happen to be attracted to someone else at a party, if you flirt with someone else, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of our marriage.
It may even be healthy.
Can I ask this in general? Just one of the things I appreciated about Europe and France, for some reason in particular, not so many rules overall for adults. We have not so many rules here for kids. They get to do whatever they want. But adults, we have a lot of rules. For instance, in France, if you want to drink a beer in a bottle, you can walk around and drink a beer in a bottle. You don't have to put it into a styrofoam cup. So, you know, when you leave the club, or you can drink in general. Here's a very small one. You go to hotel rooms in France, they don't have that big pneumatic door closer that slams the door like they have in every single hotel in Vegas and everywhere around this world. As if you're going to go into your hotel room, forget to close the door and fall asleep like that's ever happened. So you don't have to hear the ka-clunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk with all the doors shutting all the time with the people around you.
Who are busy having affairs.
Right. They trust their adults. In France, they seem to trust the adults. They seem to not have so many rules. Maybe it's just indicative of a larger problem, which is here, we feel like if we don't impose rules on our adults, we'll all get out of control and we'll all lose control.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a sense in America that there's a slippery slope, but if you, you know, you open the door in adultery to flirting, and the next thing you know, you're going to find yourself naked in bed with someone. Whereas, in fact, adults can sort of moderate their behavior, as you're describing.
Well,
but I think things are changing in France, for instance, they just outlawed smoking.
Oh, really?
Oh, everywhere?
Yeah. It's gradually taking effect in different places.
The one last decent thing about the French.
Right. So, Pamela, dude, I'm going to be in town in about a month. Maybe we hook up.
No comment.
I'll tell you what. Pamela would make a very, very interesting dinner date. She's
right.
Articulate. Smart.
Tell my wife she's doing a little research for another book called I Performed Oral on a DJ.
I think I read that book.
For you and your wife, I wouldn't give up.
All right. Pamela Druckerman, Lust in Translation.
A really great idea.
Name of the book and a good idea.
Hopefully so very helpful, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Thanks, baby doll.
I kind of stepped all over that title because it does sound interesting. I believe it's called Rules of Infidelity from Tokyo to Tennessee.
That's right. Lust in Translation. Pamela Druckerman. Well, interesting. And
and really, I mean, seriously, hopefully to the second part of my life, a little bit beneficial because I have never, ever been faithful, ever.
Maybe you guys can address this when we come back. But I have this question. I don't know if this is just women, but I've been cheated on, and I noticed that I obsessively wanted to know every detail about the person, about what they did, what happened.
Did you do it this way?
Everything,
way,
yeah.
Yeah.
It only
hurt
me.
That's a bad idea.
But I wanted to know it.
It's interesting. That's a gene that some people have that, it's like we talked about. There's some people, when you have a painful tooth, you just flick it with your tongue all day, inflicting pain on yourself. And then there are others that keep their tongue far away from the painful tooth. They don't want to experience that. They're probably the saner of the two.
Yeah.
My problem is I flick my tongue on the other person's painful tooth. It gets me in trouble.
Well,
your tooth hurts anyway, just flick my tongue on that, baby.
Have all three of us been cheated on and the cheater?
No.
Not necessarily in their marriage, but previously?
I don't believe I've ever been cheated on. I'm aware of.
I sort of half have been. You know, there's that part where you kind of know the relationship's over, but you don't really acknowledge it. And then when you find out the person is hanging out with somebody else, you're almost relieved because it's a good excuse just to move on. There's that weird coasting to a stop point where the relationship is not under power anymore. It's physically coasting. It's like you shut the engine down to your car, put it in neutral, and it's coasting. It's going to stop. You want to wait for it to slow down enough so you can jump out and do a shoulder roll.
Right.
You don't want to jump out when it's going 48 miles an hour and splatter on the pavement. When it gets slow enough, you'll jump out like an episode of Mannix and do a shoulder roll, and then it'll explode when it flies off a cliff. I've been in that part.
I've been to the one where you jump out of the car to eat just to get away from the crazy bitch.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll take your calls. 866-901-ADAM. We'll share our own experiences with cheating and being cheated on.
And being cheated on as well.
But I'd like to hear yours. Did you get busted? And if you did get busted, were you able to explain it away and put it behind you and move forward? Is that possible? Did she always hold it against you? Did you need to hear every detail? And when you did hear every detail, could you ever get it out of your mind? And by the way, if you get busted cheating and the person says, I need to hear every gory detail of what went on intimately between you and the person you cheated with, how long, what position, where and when, it's over. Because whether you get another 2 years out of the relationship or not,
right,
those vivid details will never leave the person's head.
It's a Clockwork Orange.
You do not want that. And if they're asking for details, you should not give them
details.
Yeah. And if you do give them the details, that means it's over. The clock is ticking. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to you next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. We're talking about cheating. Have you been busted, or are you still getting away with it? Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Something that just leapt to my mind. Two things about cheating. We got BZ, by the way.
Oh.
BZ. Forgot about BZ from Las Vegas. Brother, friend of ours, calling in to talk about his wife cheated on him to get back at him. Now,
right.
Women are like off-duty cops. They may not be in uniform, but they have a gun on them at all times.
Right.
And they will use it if provoked. So if you're going to rob a liquor store, make sure it's not an off-duty cop standing there. And women can cheat whenever they want if they so choose to. They don't. They don't have that gene for the most part.
Well,
but if they want to get back at you, they'll get back at you in a hurry. What's that?
I've cheated at probably almost every relationship I've ever had.
Really?
I wouldn't do it today, but I've had some trouble.
See, I don't mean to come
I
up.
Like to get to this. Now, did you cheat to get back at or justify or just because
you're
felt
a skank?
Good?
Well, one time, I wouldn't sleep with the cheats. I would just have little... I don't know. At one point, I was playing double dutch rope. When I was traveling, I was went to the Middle East to do a story on Jordan opening for tourism when I was a reporter. And when I got there, I was staying at a really nice hotel, and there were a lot of other reporters from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I met this Swiss guy.
If you don't tell me right now that you used your Emmy as a sex toy, I'm going to be real. Because I would just use my Emmy as a sex toy on myself just because I had
one. That's very sharp, Danny. No, then I spent 3 days with the guy just hanging out and
frolicking.
Well, now
we're into something else here, which is the sort of almost literally when in Rome sort of cheating, which is... There's a lot of women that wouldn't dream of going topless on a beach, but they go to Europe and pow, that top comes right off. Why? Well, that's what people do over there.
Right. Yeah, and the weird thing, I was madly, madly in love with the boyfriend I had at the time. It wasn't personal.
That's an interesting way of showing it.
But here's the thing. The second I said to myself, don't ever tell, because this is just going to hurt his feelings.
Ever tell.
And there's
ever
no need
tell.
For him to tell. The second I got off the airplane, we were at the curb putting the luggage in the car. And I was like, I got to tell you something.
Oh, baby.
I had to spill.
I do that every time, too. But now, hold on a second. Maybe
I'm
you guys...
compulsively honest. Pick one.
You do it for different reasons, but T, you were very much in love with this guy.
Yeah, I don't think he was madly in love with me.
And you were feeling vulnerable, and you wanted out.
I wanted maybe some attention. He was very distracted.
Ah. All right, well, interesting. All right, so let's address a few things. First off... When people cheat and tell their partner they've cheated, look, if their partner finds something and is going to find out and you do a preemptive strike, that's one thing. But if you go off and you go to Jordan and you go off and cheat and you come back and there's no way your partner's ever going to find out about it and you decide to share the news with your partner, there's something behind that other than just plain honesty.
It's like somebody else is interested in me.
I can't tell you, and for women, this is certainly more so for women. I can't tell you from doing Loveline for all the years, all the women I've spoken to that said, I had an affair on my husband or my boyfriend. I told him. Why? he needed to know. Why? Because I wanted to be truthful. Why? He wasn't paying attention to me.
Right. That was the story.
And now he knows that other guys will pay attention to me. I'm desirable.
That's my biggest fear. One of my biggest fears about being single. You forget the, you know, you love your wife part. You're going to see your kids on weekends. All the obvious things. But the dating scene again, I've never really so much as had my feelings seriously hurt by a girl. And the idea of falling in love with a new woman like Gretchen, with her great qualities and her poor qualities and everything about her, would never and could never bring herself to physically cheat. That's just something she could never do with her religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I go meet a girl in Hollywood today, you know, a few years younger than me, in her 30s or something like that. I'm waking up at 4 in the morning every day, in bed by 8 or 9. I can see being cheated on in my life, and I cannot see recovering from it. Or anybody else around me recovering from it.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing about our profession is no easier profession to cheat on.
Right.
Because no matter what job you're, unless your husband works on an oil derrick out in the Atlantic Ocean, you don't exactly know everyone's schedule. I mean, somebody can come home early from work or come home for lunch or come home from whatever, whenever, and catch you whenever. Everyone we know could be on top of somebody right now and know that we weren't in the next room broadcasting.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be distracting hearing my nasally drone while my wife cheated on
you
me
know
in
what?
The background.
I run tapes of you because it excites her so. And she
wait
says,
a minute.
I bet Adam could do it.
How do we know this isn't a tape?
Yeah.
She's
right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Dude, that's occurred to me. That's occurred to me.
It has.
Yeah, run a tape completely on show and kick in the front door because I knew Debbie was doing it.
Very sad.
But I forgot. I told Debbie she could do it because I didn't care.
Well, women and men cheat for different reasons. I would suggest that Teresa's infidelities were about, again, the fact that you told your man meant you were trying to achieve something from this indiscretion.
Definitely.
And it worked, right?
No, that relationship ended about 6 months later.
Thus worked for you, though, in a weird sort of self-destructive kind of way.
Yeah, that's true.
You wanted him to S or get off the pot.
And he didn't S.
Yeah, I think also that the last serious relationship I was in, I wouldn't say it was a cheat. It was just as it wasn't. We'd never had the conversation, is this exclusive?
Mm-hmm.
But it probably was to him. And I think I was having like one last thing.
You know if you're in a... You know we never had the discussion.
We didn't have
you know for a fact in your heart of hearts that you are in a monogamous relationship or you are not. You were his girlfriend or you were not.
So I had one last...
What's cheating when, you know, when you're hanging with the Swiss journalist?
Oh, he was cute.
You get to kiss, you get to cuddle, you get a sort of companion that you're sort of traveling around with.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and it was also situational. That's the same thing with the last little fling. I was working in New York, and I was working on a live news show, and this person was a producer, and we had just done this really exciting live shot, and there was like a kind of a high and an adrenaline, and we were in it together, and then that's how it ended up.
But you guys didn't actually do it.
No.
No, but there's a, you know, not just for women, for men too, at least, there's a little bit of a thrill of just meeting a new person, having a little sexual tension and energy, even if it's not necessarily consummated. David from Phoenix, your wife lets you do what?
Well, she's told me I can sleep around if I wanted to. I haven't really taken advantage of it solo yet, but...
Hey, she's lying and you're a loser.
Sorry, dude. B's a loser.
Thank you. I don't mean to be mean to this guy right off the bat. What he's telling me is his wife's giving him the hall pass. You go have sex. Okay? There's a reason behind that. B,
you know,
he's actually not doing it. My chick gives me the green light. I'm having sex before the end of the show.
Trap.
Yeah, I have a bachelor party coming up, and I've been to the Key Club a lot. There's little hallways and corners and all sorts of stuff. My girl gives me the green light at the party. I'll say I'll be back in 15 minutes.
You know, it's real funny because she was a really, really jealous person when we first got together. I couldn't even look at another chick without her just jumping on me.
Mm-hmm.
And when she first said that, my first thought was, yeah, golly, she just, you know, wants to cut me loose so that it'll be easier to let me go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, it's been that way for 3 years, and, you know, I haven't really taken advantage of it a lot.
It's because you say golly.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
Did her parents, did her dad cheat?
No.
sometimes you got to be careful and look into the relationship of the parents of the person you're in a relationship with. Are they still together?
Yeah. Her parents have been married for, I don't know, what, 30 years now, 35, something like that.
And what do you do for a living, David?
I work in field service. I work nights in the technology industry.
Are there opportunities for you to cheat?
Probably, if I really wanted to, you know, get out and do stuff. It's funny. I'm pretty satisfied.
That's the answer.
All right. I just keep a close eye on your wife, and that hall pass that you think is a hall pass could, in fact, be a bear trap. Do not ever bring it back to your wife with your foot in it saying, guess who got to cheat after 3 years?
Yeah.
Right. I would not recommend. But let me say this, and maybe this is just becoming a little cathartic, but, you know, they do that stuff where they entrap guys, where they send the hot chick out to the bar and go hit on your guy and let's go see how your guy reacts. Yeah. That ain't cheating. It's the difference between, look, if I was at a party and I walked into a bathroom and there was some cool guy there and he said, you want a line of blow? It's great stuff. I'd go, all right, I'd do it. I wouldn't go out and buy the blow.
The opportunity presented itself.
If somebody handed me a joint at a party, be like, give me that. Yep, thank you. I'll take a hit off that and I'll pass it to the next dude. That to me is not the same as me going to the park to score drugs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you drive a nice car, you have a few bucks, or maybe people recognize you from MTV. I've been in bars in New York when I used to be on MTV, and I'd be in some bar in New York, and there'd be two hot chicks there, and they're going, we're traveling, and we're staying at this hotel, and we'll get it on. Come on over and watch.
I'm glad you say that, because Gretchen's gotten used to it, because there are girls that will do it right in front of her. I'll introduce my wife, and they'll go back to the conversation that they're willing to have sex with me. They loved me on this show. They think you're so funny.
Right.
It's like bizarre, and thank you, by the way. No reason to give that up. But they will. But you said something earlier about how your wife knows right where you are because we're broadcasting, so she's got the setup.
Mm-hmm.
I would not compare her setup to ours. We're in Hollywood, man, and we are perceived as rich and famous in a town populated by the shallow and soulless.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the position to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that looks like me and behaves as I do could not get the quality and or quantity of women that I can get if I did anything else in any other town. In any other town, I'm a short guy with a raspy voice and red hair. Here, they take you as something much more important than you actually are.
Tall and velvety tones with dark hair.
Yes.
Who are they?
I was Don Ho. Or I was just the Ho part, actually.
Well, let me say this. Yes, they're... Most guys who drive trucks for a living, if they went to bars in New York and there were hot chicks that wanted to get it on in front of them while they watch in their hotel room, would definitely jump on that.
Right.
Sadly, but it's true. The other thing is when it comes to this town, I think we'd be better off in a smaller town where we were at the top of the food chain.
I know this to be true.
Now there's you got to compete with George Clooney, who lives down the street, and Brad Pitt, who lives up the hill. You're just a jock, a morning jock in this town versus the king of the town if we were in Poughkeepsie.
In Poughkeepsie, like here, I consider myself, I'm the B-list, but I actually consider myself kind of the king of the B-list. I do more television and sell more shows than most people I know. Adam's like up with the king of the B-list. Well, now at the movie The Hammer, maybe he's like edging towards the A-list.
No.
But you put us in Wyoming, we're Paul and Ringo. You know, or what? Those are the two surviving.
That's why we got to get out there. That's what I'm saying.
But seriously, I go play like Buffalo, New York. I'll play a comedy club out here. I'm lucky to fill a show a night.
Right.
If I go to Poughkeepsie, go to the same theater, 300-seat theater, I have to do three shows a night. They all sell out.
Well, yeah. I mean, when Drew and I used to go do colleges, you do UCLA or UC Irvine, you get 300-400 people. You go to DeKalb in northern Illinois, you get 4,000 people. And it's probably that much easier to get laid.
Well, in this scenario in New York where the two women are flirting with you very openly, are you tempted?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't go, but I was very tempted. And I thought, they weren't that hot. But, no, you know, it was, I gotta say,
you and I cannot be more different.
I gotta say, I never shared this story, but I don't know what I was doing. I was doing an interview at a restaurant, at a diner. I was sitting in a diner doing an interview, and there was this group of like three guys and a smoking hot blonde chick, and they're sitting at the other table, and while I was doing this interview, at some point, I think one of the guys just came over and, like, gave me a note. And he said, the note said the girl wanted to meet me or whatever it was and give her a call. And I said hi to her. And she was a great-looking young girl. And, spectacular-looking. And she had her phone number on it. And I stared at the note for a while. And then I threw it out because I said, if I bring this note home, A, my girlfriend at the time is going to find it, or B, I will call at some point.
Right.
And then later on, maybe 2 years later, I played in this celebrity softball game, and one of the guys who was on my team was sitting at that table that day, and he said, dude, you ever call that whatever? And I said, nah, I threw the thing away, and he said, that was the hottest chick I've ever met. She was so hot. I can't believe you didn't, whatever. Then I started beating myself up thinking maybe I should have called her. But the point is,
still in the bank.
I was very good. I'm very good that way. But that type of temptation, one thing when Fat Flo at the trucker bar comes over and shakes her ass a little bit and you think, not bad for a 50-year-old woman who's packing on extra 20 pounds. But when a piping hot 23-year-old blonde who's the hottest chick most of us will see in person comes over and gives you her number and says, please call me. I'd like to go out with you. That is hard to say no to. And most guys are not going to pass that test. Thus, when they set guys up by getting the model and having them sit next door at the bar, and then the wife watches with the via the camera that's set up in the pile of coasters, it doesn't work out
it
so
never
good.
Works out so well.
Yes. All right, we need to take a break, but we have a lot of your calls, and I want
to
keep this going.
Why don't we take a five-minute break?
We'll take a five-minute break, and then we will bang through your calls. Let me tell you what we got. Cheated on girlfriend, and the girlfriend wouldn't break up. This is when you cheat to get them to break up with you, and they don't.
Trying to get out, you can't.
Cheated on wife, wouldn't let it die. Most women cheat, they're better at it than we are.
Yeah.
Wife cheat on me to get back at me. Caught girlfriend cheating, and then got arrested. Three-year-old son caught wife cheating, has an open relationship. See about that.
All right, we'll talk. Any real men at all, we should be able to get to all of them.
We will talk to every one of you.
Bang, 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 here's your story.
Every one of you next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, bachelor parties.
So, the night before his nuptials, the bridegroom's friends strip him and humiliate him in front of whores?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was Adam Explains Bachelor Parties to 1780s Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
There was a time when a bachelor party meant cigars and the groom-to-be got laid. Now you're duct taped to a folding chair and your buddies are smearing Cool Whip at you and videoing you with the telephone. You have a clown shoes on and a big nose and glasses, and there's some chick you're not attracted to rubbing parts of her that you don't want to get near
on
you while your buddies laugh hysterically and smack you with more Cool Whip.
I actually have issues with that about our bachelor party because I'm like, it's going to be kind of my coming out party, if you will. And there's certain parts of a bachelor party that the audience, that you guys have bothered to attend, expect and want, and I will certainly deliver. You pay my rent and you're my best pals. But I want to meet a girl. I mean, not necessarily that night, you know, and I'm not looking to get married the 31st, but I want to meet a girl, and some chick grinding all over me is just going to be wasting my time of finding that girl because that's not her.
You need an emotional grinding.
Yes, I do.
I totally understand what you're saying.
You get that? Yeah. That's what I don't, you know, the girl stripping all over me and doing stuff with me is just wasting my time from finding Mrs. Wright.
Right.
All right.
I want you to know, I'll do it for you people. Unless anybody wants to be a designated lap dancer, and then you can do it for me. I'll just watch you.
We have some cheaters on the phone. Yeah.
Most of the bachelor parties break down into strange rituals that defy morals and hygiene. Like some guy, some sloppy, drunken, fat guy just paid the chick $5 to lick some Cool Whip off her, and then she's going to reload with the Cool Whip, and you're supposed to go the exact same place his
double
hairy
dipping.
Mug was at, and it's like, look, yeah, that is a double dip. Hey, BZ.
Yo.
BZ's our good friend from Las Vegas. If anyone wants to know what BZ not only looks like, but what his vibe is like, if you remember the movie Swingers, black guy in Swingers, there was one brother that hung out with the group from Swingers.
This place is dead anyway.
There you go. That is BZ, everybody.
By the way, BZ, you're calling us from Vegas?
Yeah.
Just want to point out real quick, we just got our ratings in. We are number one in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Number one.
Thank you, BZ.
Some people just say thanks. I would like to turn to the other opposing teams and say, we beat your ass.
BZ, what's your story?
A few years back before I got married, I set up a surprise birthday for my soon-to-be wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked up with her best friend and her cousin to set this up. I told her I was going out of town to do some entertainment stuff. Well, the weekend was her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I left. We got everything set up. And then comes to find out, she called her ex-boyfriend on. And while I was supposedly gone, even though I wasn't gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a room at the MGM, got some concert tickets, all that stuff. Made her friend tell her that she was coming to a party at the MGM. Well, I had a room full of roses and candles lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So she came to the hotel room. I knew she felt like garbage, but I didn't find out till months later.
So she, and this is before you were going to get married.
Yeah, this was before we were going to get married. So she cheated on me out of spite because she thought that I left town for her birthday.
I must say, one of the things, well, maybe it was spite, maybe it was another phenomenon, which is one of the things Dr. Drew has always said, and we basically learned doing Loveline all those years, is women will have a last fling. It's not a wives' tale.
Right.
There is
absolutely.
An impulse, a mandate, or whatever. They will hook up with an alpha male.
Yeah.
Maybe it has to do with the seed of the alpha male. They will marry the guy who's not the alpha male.
Yeah.
He's the balding guy.
Stable.
Who's the CPA who's going to make a good father to the kids,
right.
But not a good genetic father to the kids. It's good to hook up with the stripper one night. And then get married. So there is that fling phenomenon that goes on. And all I'm saying is guys, the week before you get married, don't leave town.
No, don't. Don't.
So the deal was this was a year before we got married.
Uh-huh.
But it was on the books, though.
But you know what? For me,
she was getting suffocated.
I would say when you say don't leave town, if I even suspected that a woman could or would be with another man, I don't know. I'm so jealous in an emotional sense.
Right.
You know, that somebody, they let their heart go to another, that I could never recover that.
What about when I get a boyfriend, Danny? Will you be sad? And when
no,
I say when,
I'll be the fling.
Mean...
I don't care a rat's ass about your boyfriend. I'll still bone you.
Besides, Danny will be in his 80s and hooked up to an iron lung
know,
by
this
then.
Conversation...
Like I'm going to be in my 80s ever.
BZ.
Yo.
Well, I worked in the iron lung. BZ, did, you said this was an ex-boyfriend of hers?
Yeah, it was the ex-boyfriend right before me.
Yep, that's a good one to go back to. You know what to expect. They're easy to find.
To me, that's cheating, but it counts as three-quarters of a cheat.
It's cheating light.
It's light cheating. That's right. It's low-cal cheating.
Yep.
So you really want to look at me right now and say, it tastes great, less filling, and that's supposed to make me feel better about your cheating?
You know, it's sort of like this. It's a tragedy. Like, if you found out your kid was dead, it would be a tragedy if it was a car accident. But if you found out it was autoerotic asphyxiation, speaking of cars, if you thought the kid was choking himself off in his dorm room while he was having at himself, it would be that much worse. There's degrees. Even hell has a basement, you know. Cheating, that would be horrible news. Cheating with your best buddy, that is devastating. Cheating with the ex, not quite as bad.
See, I think we...
Thanks, BZ.
Thank you, BZ.
Thanks.
I think we should, like I said, try and bang through all the calls. So just let me just say this is where Adam and I differentiate on this one with the cheating and cheating light and ex. And this, all the difference in the world would be where I would shoot you.
Well, there you go. Leg versus head.
Is that right?
No. You got to die either way. Guts versus head. Guts hurts for like 3 or 4 hours before you die.
So, head, you're doing our favor.
Head, I'm being cool to everybody.
Okay.
Jordan?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, my brother?
Not too much, Adam. How are you?
Good. So, let's hear your story about cheating.
Well, I was dating this girl for about 3 months. And, I had cheated on her. And, like, a month later.
Perry cracks himself up. Yes. A month later,
she finds out. The mm-hmm. thing is, she already had the juicy details. I didn't tell her anything.
I'm not following
you
exactly.
How did she get the details?
I don't know. I still don't know to this day. But for some reason, she already knew what I did with this other girl, who the girl was. Somebody squealed.
Of course somebody squeals. Somebody always squeals. You know, every move that I make in public is reported to Gretchen. And every move Gretchen makes in private is reported to me. Her friends really picked us as a family friend. So her friends tell me everything, thinking it's all cool because we're acting so friendly. Where newspapers call Gretchen and say, Danny's in a bar drinking.
Another interesting difference between us in Europe, as we were talking about earlier, perhaps. Here, it's considered a good thing if you rat somebody out. If a friend tells a friend, hey, I saw your wife coming over here. I bet they don't do as much of that in Europe.
No.
Yeah. Here, there's a social network that goes on with women where if one woman sees a guy out to lunch with another woman that's not his wife, they will get back to this other woman and make it their duty. I feel like in Europe, they'll just have another beer and another drag off their cigarette and let sleeping dogs lie.
Unfortunately, they're taking away the cigarettes, which means those bitches are going to start talking.
Sad. It's true. Marilyn from Beverly Hills. Marilyn?
Yes.
What's going on with you, baby doll?
I think most men are delusional, and they think that women don't cheat. Because if you talk to most men, they'll sit there and say, oh, I've never been cheated on, like Danny's saying. And I guarantee you Danny's been cheated on, because we all do, a lot of women do it. I don't, not all of them, but
have you cheated on me?
No, but I was in a 7-year relationship, and I cheated several times on him.
Why?
Because I was bored, because I was comfortable in the relationship and I didn't want to get out of it, but I was getting bored. And so
I needed a little razzle dazzle, right?
Exactly. And he never found out because I'm smart, because I'm not stupid. Most men get caught because they're stupid. And he cheated on me once, and he did it like in a community that was pretty small, and I found out about it, and I made his life miserable, and we stayed together for 2 years after that, but like we couldn't live it down. And to this day, I still like keep in touch with him. He like puts me on a pedestal. He's like, oh, because I really messed things up between us. And sometimes I say, well, should I tell him I cheated on him 3 times? Should I knock myself off the pedestal? And I'm like, nah, why?
It would
why
just hurt his feelings.
As a radio host, I am telling you, no, never, never tell him. There's no reason. Nothing good.
But hold on.
As a man, I'm telling you to get cancer.
Can you mandate that?
Double standard. You've cheated.
I didn't say it was fair. And no, don't we play Cancer Dan? Don't you think that all my house got on fire the same night I was supposed to go to Catalina, which caught on fire? God's catching up with me.
Hey, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Couple things. He is beating himself up over cheating and causing that as the demise of the relationship. So in this instance, if you two are never going to be together again,
I've been married for years now.
Well, you can tell him. I wouldn't tell anyone I ever wanted to have a relationship with ever again. But if you guys are broken up and you're remarried and he's beating himself up over what he thinks is the reason the relationship ended, you could alleviate some of that stress if you wish. I'll give you a pass on this one. Marilyn.
Yeah.
You sound like you have a little energy with men.
Thank you.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, I've been happily married now for 8 years. I've never cheated on my husband. We have a great sex life. I make it fun and exciting. We have a good time together. I let him have porn. We watch it together. We play games, because it's going to get boring if you don't keep it alive. And like I said, I think that if a woman gets bored, she may wander, but she's not going to get caught. And about it. And guys tend to kind of
Part of the reason, too, is most guys aren't on patrol.
We don't think that women are capable of this, so we're not looking for it.
But we are. That's what I'm saying, is that I'm a nice person. I'm not the kind of person that you would look at me and say, oh, she would definitely cheat. And mm-hmm. I did it several times on him. And, you know, like I said, I've been happily married for 8 years and haven't done it. I don't think of doing it. It doesn't occur to me to do it. But I did it. And I think that a lot of men think, like, they put
the women on the pedestal. But again, did you cheat because you were at an age where maybe you felt like you needed to experiment?
I was in my earlier 20s. And I wanted to experiment.
Who'd you cheat with?
I cheated with people I worked with because I was cute and I was getting hit on, and I was like, wow, I'm attracted to other guys. And so let's try something else.
And nothing ever caught up to you?
No. Not
one of the guys you worked with fell in love with you or wanted to contact you outside of the office or what have you?
We kind of had like little flings or something, but I think because they knew I was in a long-term relationship, because I didn't lie to them about that either. It was kind of like, they were like, oh, cool. She's
and you didn't, you didn't, fling. You didn't fall for any of these guys.
I kind of fell for one of them, and then things didn't work out. And soon after that, my boyfriend and I broke up, and we contacted each other, and we kind of saw each other a couple times, and it just things didn't fall through.
Yeah, I have found that you
didn't
want
to get divorced.
You lose a certain level of desirability when you become available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
know, mm-hmm.
Where there's one thing to be sneaking around and skulking around, and there's another thing to become available.
Fred says him and his wife both cheat. Fred?
Yeah, morning, guys.
Morning, Fred.
Hey, you know, my wife and I, we've been married about 17 years now, and I used to be a bartender a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty available.
Yeah.
But
bartender number one civilian get laid job. Right. Now,
oh, absolutely, man.
Celebrity absolutely. Doesn't compare with celebrity, but if you want just a civilian gig, bartender's the way to go.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
All right.
But, she was kind of doing the same thing. She wasn't bartending, but she, you know, anyways, long story short, we found out what was going on, and we sat down and talked about it. And we thought, hey, you know, let's just scratch our itch and still be happily married. Why not?
All right.
And if that works, I usually hear that doesn't work.
We've been together 17 years, man, and it's awesome.
Well, all right. And can you go out and get your itch scratched whenever you want?
Well, we do it together now. That's the rule that we
do. Oh, so you're swingers now.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it works good.
Good times.
It does sound like good times, but it's a real tough sell.
I know. Listen,
it's a tough sell.
I've seen what real swingers look like on Succetera, and believe me, it ain't pretty.
You're right. There's some pretty.
It's not the Cinemax version of swingers. If you want to know what real swingers look like, go to HBO and go to Real Sex. That's what real swingers look like. Don't go to Silk Stockings, Jamaica. That's not what the real swingers look like. That's what paid swingers look like. Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
Nah.
Good times.
Don't have time for the kids.
Good times.
Don't
look, my feeling with all this stuff is, hey, knock yourself out, but when you have kids, knock it off.
Yes.
That's probably a good idea.
Mommy and daddy shouldn't be swinging. The married couple can swing all they want. When they become mommy and daddy, it's time to put that stuff away.
There's also an age thing or something that comes around, because I cannot, although in my case, I think there's a sobriety thing, too. Some of the things that, like, my wife will describe to me when we're discussing the reasons for our divorce, I don't really recognize. And people who have met me much more recently don't understand what we're talking about. When I'd say, and then somebody would look at me funny and I'd smash the furniture and the cops would be at my house and they'd go, what are you talking about? I don't even know if that guy, I've never seen that guy. So I think there's an age as well as having kids. You know, there's just a time and a place where you become the family unit you were meant to be. I just think we have a tendency to maybe start too early. There's no reason to get married at 21 years old.
Yeah.
There's no reason for men, as long as you have the will to live, there's no reason to be. No. As long as you're producing a lot of testosterone, like when you're 23.
Or can purchase it.
And you want to F and fight all the time, that's not the time to get married because you will do both.
Yep.
In and outside of your relationship.
With terrible back acne.
James? That's right.
Yes.
James, you're how old are you, James?
I'm 26.
26 from Las Vegas. Last call on the topic, but most interesting. You have a 3-year-old son that caught wife cheating?
Yes, I do. He's 3 and a half now, and I'm still married, so
Now, how did that work, that the wife...
well, I'd like to make a long story short, but this is it's pretty evil, so I have to tell you in details.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
All right.
But, all right, well, my wife's from a small town in California.
Hey, James.
James.
We're running late, but I do want to hear your story, and I appreciate it's a long and evil story. Let's make it a medium-length evil story.
Okay, yeah,
hold on. Let's take a break, and I want to hear it when we come back.
All right.
So 3-year-old son caught wife cheating and was able to convey it back to you.
He says it's evil.
And it's evil. I'm intrigued.
Your 3-year-old walks in. It's intrinsically evil. You're doing an evil act that's now witnessed by a minor. You know, how far down the list do you have to go till this gets bad?
Kiddies, I've told you time and time again to put the $2 barrel bolt on the door of the bedroom so the 3-year-old doesn't catch mommy underneath the pool man. But evidently,
especially if you don't have a pool,
didn't listen.
That's right.
We'll take a break. We'll talk to James. He'll tell us the rest of this evil tale next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6 on ESPN2. Don't watch the National Spelling Bee. Highlights from the 2006 National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. At 7 on Logo. Be sure to miss the Big Gay Sketch Show. Gay and lesbian-themed sketch comedy. Produced by Rosie O'Donnell. And at 9:30 on Travel Channel. Don't watch John Ratzenberger's Made in America. John Ratzenberger visits the Ski Ball Company of Chalfont, Pennsylvania. That's what not to watch. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. Well, as promised, James from Las Vegas. James.
I'm cheating going on in Vegas. Know that?
Shocking. James' 3-year-old son caught his wife cheating, and the tale goes a little something like this. Hit it, James.
All right. Well, here it goes. All right. Well, I'll start when my son came home. My son came home from the weekend, and, you know, he was telling me, you know, Daddy, I like Travis. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe this guy Travis. Because what happened was my wife went to California. We just moved out here to Vegas. She goes, I need to go see my family. I was like, okay, whatever. You know, you're from a small town. You love your family, whatever. So I let her go, and she spent the whole weekend there. My son comes back, and he's talking about this guy, Travis.
Your son went with your wife?
Both of my sons, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So she takes my kids with her to California. So I'm thinking, okay, she's going to see her family. And I'm here at home, you know, fixing up the brand-new house. We just bought a brand-new house and whatever. Okay, so he's coming home, and he's talking about this guy, Travis, and I'm like, okay, it must have been one of her high school friends or whatever. So then, you know, I get a little snoopy. So I go on her MySpace that I set up for her,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know her password. So then I'm going through her friend list, and I find this guy, Travis. So I check her trash on the MySpace, and it's a letter to Travis that says, I can't wait to see you this weekend. I'm really nervous about this weekend, blah, blah, blah. So I asked her about it, okay, and so she denied it,
mm-hmm.
and so I started talking to my son, and I was like, so who's this guy Travis, and he says, well, mommy took us to his house, and we got to play with his little girl while him and mommy were in the bedroom, and so then I confronted her about it.
We have a front runner for the Definitely Not a Jew.
And the evil thing about it,
mm-hmm.
here we go, Adam, is she came home with some lingerie. She came home with lingerie, and she says, hey, you know, this was before my son talked to me about this, and she says, hey, look what I bought, you know, maybe I could try it on tonight, whatever. I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, whatever. And because I had called her, and she was shopping for it at the mall.
Uh-huh.
And then, lo and behold, my son tells me that this guy, Travis, was picking out lingerie for my wife.
Well,
so the lingerie that she wanted to try on.
How does anybody survive this?
So now, are you still together with your wife?
I'm still together, and I'll tell you why.
Sure, you guys have a bond.
For the kids, and I still love her.
So. You know what? I hate to be. I'd like to stay in character and just be the wild maniac and stuff. Because I tried to sell the for the kids thing because I didn't want a divorce. You know, it's become clear to me now that it is in fact the best thing. But Dr. Phil actually said to me, and I can't believe I didn't smack him right in the face at the time, but it turns out he was right. It's better to be from a broken home than live in one.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I can't believe I listened to Dr. Phil and quoted him. Just shoot me.
Fire with fire. So you know what? If opportunity knocks,
sure.
Then you incinerate the whole family.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Okay, the thing is, she got caught. She got caught by her 3-year-old son because she's stupid.
Right. Enough. But you're saying if opportunity knocks, like if
I'm saying that guys.
If one of a Victoria's Secret model decides to hook up with a guy who works at a batting cage and has bad orthodonture, you're going for it.
You were talking about earlier.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what
that
I'm saying.
You shouldn't. That you guys were talking about. You shouldn't. Asked for details, and I was one of the people that asked for details.
Oh, I did too.
You do.
Totally.
Well, how old?
I got details.
How old are you, James?
I'm 26.
Right. The asking for details is a young man's game. When you get older, you don't care to hear details about almost anything.
James, are there a couple of the details that really, really stick in your mind?
Well, yeah, like.
Hung like a black rhino.
When I was talking to her on the phone, and she was acting like she was with her sister at the mall shopping for lingerie.
Hey,
and
James, let me jump in.
Who's better?
What do you do for a living?
Well, I work as a security officer for the National Nuclear Security Association.
All right, so you have a lot of hot chicks throwing themselves your way on an almost nightly basis?
I make a lot of money.
All right. Okay.
I feel like cheating on
$9
James.
An hour. Hey, James?
Yeah.
Another would you car. Like to hump Teresa?
No, I feel like cheating on him.
I know what you're saying.
But she sounds pretty hot.
Hey, James, here's what I'd like to say to you. Your wife, here's what scares me most about this situation. Your wife showed horrible judgment. It's not that she cheated. It's that the way she did it and the way she went about it with the kids, with her, so on and so forth. I worry that that same person is going to show more horrible judgment, and I worry about the kids. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you fully.
A, no more crapping out kids with this nutty broad.
Right.
And B, if you can get past it, you can get past it. But if it's always lurking in the back of your mind that it's payback time, that's not going to be a great environment for the kiddies.
Right. And I want you to know there's something about the lingerie, too. I mean, the safety factor of letting a 3-year-old find out is one thing and inexcusable and probably intentional in some way. But bringing home lingerie to point it out to you that she had just purchased with another man is a level of cruelty.
Yes. And
it's insurmountable.
Did you guys just miss that James said she was stupid, though?
Well, she bought it and said that she bought it and she wanted to.
But you said she was stupid because she didn't know how to erase her MySpace outgoing mail?
I set it up for her. I know her password.
Hey, James, does she come from some chaos?
Yeah, her family's pretty.
Yeah. This is why you don't crap out the kids with the products of chaos. They act out.
So you're here. It's funny. You and I are fascinated by different aspects of this. I'm fascinated by the cruelty factor of the lingerie that she purchased with another man. I know guys that they would cheat. They would purposely not shower and go home and make love to their wives or girlfriends because it was mean.
Mm-hmm.
There was something just super erotic about being nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a level of cruelty even I must say I have never entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some nasty ass stuff, man.
I don't think people act in a vacuum or in a void. I feel like perhaps James, although he sounds like a nice guy, he did call his wife stupid. And maybe she was reacting to the way...
He didn't call her a stupid whore, so he's up on what she actually is.
I'm saying we don't know what happens between two people, but perhaps he wasn't treating her that well when she decided to make the horrible decision.
So perhaps that's when she let her 3-year-old find out.
I'm saying it was a good decision, but who knows what happens between two people.
Mm-hmm. You come up with a scenario that excuses the letting 3-year-old find you, then it doesn't matter what happens between two people. She's stupid.
Look, this is why when you're young and you're stupid and you come from chaos, do whatever you want, but for Christ's sake, idiots, don't crap out the kids. Because otherwise, she's 24 and he's 25, and who cares? Really, who cares? People are cheating on each other. There's chaos. There's breakups, what have you. Domestic, whatever. Cops show up, whatever. Minus the kids, no problemo. No harm, no foul. You're just one more screwed up couple. But now you have two sons. And those two sons are little sponges, and they travel along, and they absorb all the crap that mommy and daddy, spoken or unspoken. That's the thing about kids. People do that stuff all the time. We had the door closed. We never argued in front of them. We never did drugs in front of kids.
They know.
You don't need to do anything in front of kids. They know, and they know on a level that's even more in-depth than words. They feel it.
Yeah.
They feel it. I gotta tell you, I got in an argument with my wife the other day. My wife was upset, and she was upset during this argument, and my dog started going nuts, started licking my wife, started pawing on her. My dog was going on. My dog felt that she was upset.
Maybe you should have tried
that. It's a dog, for the Christ's sake.
The woman starts getting mad. Maybe she started licking on her and pawing on her, and she'll settle the hell down.
Dogs bond with their owners.
Right, the dog felt that my wife was upset. Doesn't speak a lick of English, as far as I know.
There's that word again.
Although does understand the part walk. Does know the word walk. Other than that, does not speak much English, but knew my wife was upset and started licking and pawing and acting very upset around my wife. Kids are this way as well. You can't expose them to this. And then they go on and have generations of screwed up people, and then we pay for it. That's right. The prisons, the counselors, the rehab, the probation officers, it's all there because you decided to crap out kids before you were done doing what you needed to do on your way to adulthood.
Right. Is that why you waited so long? Did you know this about yourself?
I knew.
Because 40 is pretty old.
I knew that.
I mean, you got married, not in life.
Right. I knew that my family was screwed up and that I was going to make a horrible dad if I had kids when I was in my 20s. Plus, I couldn't afford to feed myself barely, much less, you know, another mouth or two hang around. Mm. I did not want to do it for selfish reasons and for reasons that were not selfish, which is I didn't want to pay for people when I couldn't afford other people. I wanted my kids to be able to have health care and toys and a nanny and safety and whatever. And I knew I was a mess because my family was sort of a mess. And I wanted to get my S together. And I didn't want any kids until I was able to deal with it, not only emotionally, but financially.
See, I've been engaged 11 times. I've been engaged.
Really?
Yeah,
were there rings involved each and every time?
Yeah, usually the same one. It was a piece of crap, and I'd say it was my grandmother's. But that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point was, I've never really been on real dates. I'd go out to a club, girl would come out with me, and she wouldn't leave for the next 3 years. And that's the way that would work. And one day I'd go out to another club, and there'd be another girl, and I'd have a conversation. One girl would move out, and one girl would move in. And that's the way it went until I married my current wife of almost 20 years on the first date, the day I met her. So this now at 47 is very interesting to me, that the way I should have thought when the way you were growing up, that I'm not prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just think, like, I got to tell you, when my house caught fire and we were evacuated and I was heading down to Catalina to go there for the day to MC that thing and that island burnt into flames, I thought, okay, this could not be a better euphemism for what I've done to my life with my way of living. I've got to stop now. But now, you know, you hear that lady say, oh, no, statistics are that women cheat as much as men. So what I'm feeling now, like, I'm getting nervous right this second thinking about it, because I will get married again for sure. No two ways about it. That God's not done burning my house down. You know what I mean?
Karma is still going to get you.
Here it comes. And I don't think I could emotionally take that.
Well, look, people, be realistic. That's all. Assess yourself and take reality on reality's terms.
Right, but then take the risk of your reality on reality's terms, too, because I wouldn't play well.
If you're a kind of person that forgets things, write stuff down. You know those people like, oh, no, I don't need to write it down. Yes, you do. Know yourself. If you have a mind like a steel trap, then don't write it down. But if you forget a lot of things, then get a little notepad, make yourself a note. And if you're not ready to be a parent, don't be a parent and be realistic. Yeah. Assess yourself.
If you're one
be
of those
tough
guys,
on yourself.
If you're one of those guys like me that is none of the above but can actually explain a pair of girls' panties that don't belong to anyone in the home under the pillow, that you can just explain that and make people go, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense that they're put there by aliens. Mm-hmm. If you think you're that guy, you can try that too. But I just, on a personal level, what we're talking about, I guess because, you know, it's all happening right now, I just don't think the man's done burning my house down.
Do you think God's going to go after you?
I think I'm going to fall desperately in love.
With a cheater.
With a cheater. That's what I think's going to happen.
Mm. All right, well, listen, God.
This is Adam talking.
He
thinks it's a favor of him to talk to me.
I'm going
to
upgrade myself diagnostic just for this conversation.
I appreciate that.
Can you put in a good word for me?
Number two, I don't need any collateral damage, any friendly fire. If you're going to collapse a ceiling on Bonaducci, hit right. Bonaducci and
fair
Bonaducci
enough.
Over.
Fair enough.
Tell God also while you're talking to him that I'm done cheating and I was just scared then. I couldn't settle down. I was scared to commit.
God, that ceiling that's meant for Strasser and Bonaducci again.
Bonaducci.
The ace man over here. He takes care of his family.
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
All right, now we need to take a break. We will get to the news, but when we come back, we'll speak to the winner of Survivor Fiji, Earl Cole.
Nice.
A brother.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if a man of color has won.
Last season, it was an Asian guy.
Yule.
I like that guy. He's a model now, isn't he?
Very handsome
guy. Isn't
that
his picture up on those like Gap ads or
something? He's 3% body fat, 100% love from Mr. Bonaducci. But I'm not sure if a black guy has ever won Survivor. I don't think they or
Earl
he
could be
has.
By the way, it was down to three, and they were all black. The finalists, Earl, Dreams, and Cassandra.
Good times.
Another personal, but... Could you leave any kind of sporting event or contest, just the white man have one little chance?
Well, I believe that spelling competition is coming up. Heard about earlier. I still feel like, well, maybe Asians, but I'm now counting them as white because I'm clean.
Me too.
Look, here's the deal. You guys count Tiger Woods as black and not as Asian. I'm going to count the Asians as white, and I'm going to claim them.
Fair enough.
So we win the spelling competitions. We'll take a quick break. Back with the winner of Survivor next.
Earl Cole with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Earl Cole, winner of Survivor. Earl.
Hey.
I enjoyed watching you on TV on Sunday night.
All right.
I'm a big Survivor fan. As a matter of fact, I have a Survivor dance that I do during the music at the beginning of every Survivor. I'm not sure why. It just took, and now my wife insists that I do it.
So Earl, he has little babies, and they enjoy the dance.
I've incorporated them into the dance as well.
Wow.
I light them on fire and spin them like a torch. Wow. Hey, Earl, congratulations.
Thank you.
$1 million.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to say congratulations to the federal government, who's going to get $425 grand out of that for doing nothing.
Nothing at all.
Paying taxes is something we all do and don't think about too much. But the fact that Earl won $1 million, but he really gets what? Six and a little change?
Yep, six and some change, but hey, that's still more than I had.
No, that's more than you had. You went out and risked malaria for a month and a half.
Yes.
The man sat home and did nothing and is going to get $375 grand for your hard work.
There are things like that that can hurt you real quick. I'll just say this real quick. You know, I got that fight coming up. It pays like $1,500. I'm actually going to get punched in the face repeatedly while she gets her hair done. And then give her half that money
to your wife. Yes.
Earl, what are you going to do with your winnings other than pay Uncle Sam?
Pay Uncle Sam, of course. Me, I'm not going to make any quick decisions because all this just happened. So I'm not going to go buy a Bentley all of a sudden or anything crazy and, you know, buy a whole city drinks. You know, I'm not going to do that yet. So I'm going to take my time and, you know, be smart with it and invest it.
The Bentley's stupid. Buying a whole city drink, that's a smart move.
Has anyone come out of the woodwork, family, friends, people needing a loan?
You know what? I had somebody that knew me in the second grade try to reach me.
Really? What was their approach?
Grade? I think they tried to get in touch with one of my friends from high school and say, hey, I wonder if Earl remembers me. We went to the same elementary school. Like, elementary school?
Well, Earl, I was watching, and first off, this is the first time ever there's been a unanimous vote. So Earl got every vote to win Survivor, which hasn't happened in how many seasons?
It's never happened.
Hasn't happened in 14 seasons prior to this, which is pretty amazing. And you, as I learned from watching the finale, weren't even a big Survivor fan.
Yeah, I just... I don't watch a lot of TV, and so I understood the concept and the premise. I mean, it's part of pop culture, Survivor.
Sure.
So I hadn't really saw it, but I think that helped me out because it made me go in there with an open mind completely.
Well, and you just found out a couple days before they you went to Fiji. How did that work?
Yeah, well, I got recruited for The Amazing Race. And my partner for The Amazing Race, they couldn't do it. And they said, oh, we'll give you a call next year. I was like, oh, okay. And then a week later, they said, a spot opened up on Survivor. Somebody dropped out last minute.
Wow.
Somebody like you. Can you do it? And I was like, oh, well, where are you going? I said, Fiji. I said, I'm in. Well, when do I leave? Monday.
Wow. Can I ask you something? Did you just say someone like you? Is that what they said?
Someone like you?
You said this.
Yeah.
Did you take that to mean a black guy?
No, they wanted somebody cool.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you this, because, like, I'm talking to him, and he sounds really cool and everything, and if you skip a couple of lines, you know, he's a big fan of sitting around playing chess and, you know, that kind of stuff. But dig it. This guy wins Survivor with piano hands. He plays piano, saxophone, guitar, drums, and violin.
That's
everybody
right.
I know that plays the violin treats their hands like they're a brain surgeon. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I can't. I play the violin, man. How do you win Survivor and take care of yourself? Or do you just say, shine it, I don't play violin for the next 6-10 weeks or whatever. I play rough and I play hard and I play to win.
I play rough. I'm still an athlete, so I play rough.
I dig that.
Yeah, so.
Earl, what was the toughest thing to do without as far as society goes? And did you get permanently adjusted by this experience? Did it put things into perspective? Did you enjoy a hot shower more than we'll ever know?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you enjoy a simple glass of water more than a pillow. Just simple things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a shower, of course.
Right.
Just anything, because everyone gets so caught up in like your cell phones, your job title, what you do, your family support. When you go there, you can't call your parents or depend on your wife or anything like that. You don't have anything. You're on an island with a bunch of strangers,
mm-hmm.
and you have nothing.
But can you know? I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but if you watch The Sopranos, Tony Soprano gets shot, and he lies there in the hospital bed, clinging to life, and he thinks, "I'm going to get it." I'm going to turn myself around. New lease on life. I'm going to smell the roses.
Yeah.
From now on, it's a softer, gentler. And then two episodes later, he's beating the crap out of somebody again. Is that, I mean, you first came home and you had your first glass of water and your first hot shower and you said, I'll appreciate everything for the rest of my life. And then a week later, you were throwing a Frappuccino to Starbucks employee screaming, this is flat.
It wasn't a week later. It was maybe a couple
2 days later. This is the sad part. Like, the Survivor thing will turn you around, but then it'll wear off in 4 months, right?
That's with everything. I've had very near brushes with death. I mean, not like I got sick. I've been shot.
Right.
I've been, you know, bad. I've had multiple operations from being an ass, all self-induced. But I've come very close to death at least 5 times and swore I'm going to get up and be a different man.
Well,
and the
like
second my hands healed, I was fighting again.
But how many of us have had that hangover? You say, oh, I'm going to never drink again.
About 40,000
next weekend.
Earl, you know who I think has a bit of a shame over is Dreams. Because of that decision he made.
Yeah, that was a pretty big decision.
Well, explain that, T.
Well, I'll let Earl.
Huh? Earl,
tell us what happened with Dreams and Yao Man in the truck.
Well, we had all already talked about, when we knew there was going to be a car challenge, we had already talked about, like, hey, Dreams needs this a car. And we said, okay, whoever wins it, we'll give it to him. We all thought that. And Yao Man ended up winning, so he gave it to him and said, on this condition that if I give you this truck, then if you reach the Final Four, we all reach it, and you win immunity, you must give me your necklace,
mm-hmm.
the immunity necklace. And that means no one can vote for me, and everyone else has to vote my way.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we're going to vote Dreams out. So basically, he's saying, I'm giving you, if I give you this truck, you're gone, buddy.
Right.
Wow.
And Dreams agreed to it because he really wanted that truck.
Yep. He agreed to it, and then he reneged on it.
He went back on his word, which didn't make him popular with the folks who were voting.
Ew.
And thus, Earl Cole won unanimously. Hey, Earl, congratulations,
Thank
buddy.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And
we're not going to ask the island sex question. Are you kidding me?
Did you get laid?
Thank you.
On the island?
Yeah.
Man, have you seen how those chicks look on there after a while?
Dude, you're on an island. You just told me how good a glass of water was. Don't give me a bunch of crap about a fat girl.
By the way, can I tell you this, Earl? My mom wrote me an email last night having no idea that you were going to be on the show. And she said, I never do this, but I watched Survivor, and that guy Earl would be perfect for you.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that sweet? My Earl, mom tried to fix us up.
Just so you know, my mom said the same thing about us, Earl.
are you single, Earl?
I'm a single guy.
$500,000 Damn right, right you are. Plays the violin, has a cool vibe, $1 million. This guy's not getting made.
First guy my mom's
Earl.
Ever tried to fix me up with.
Wow. Once you go Jew, you'll never be blue.
Do you mind Jews?
Let's hook up.
Yeah, because Earl, let me give you a little back history on Teresa over here. Yes.
Please make it good. Leave out the bad parts.
Teresa has a stepfather who's a brother who she loves very much. So she grew up with a love for the black man.
Uh-huh.
I'm comfortable with all cultures.
I'm comfortable with all.
In your heart. Yes.
I just want a Mandingo warrior to make love to me.
And Earl,
you did not just say that.
Sure, I did. Just a bracket on it.
Deal. Earl, I'm embarrassed.
Earl, you're in Santa Monica?
Yeah, I live in Santa Monica.
Well, just a couple miles away from where the
studio is. Do you mind Koreatown?
Koreatown?
That's where I live.
She calls her vagina. She'll take you down to Koreatown, buddy.
Nice.
Hey, Earl, wait a minute. Now, let's do some math here. You're single.
Uh-huh.
You're educated.
Yep.
You're hot.
You have $1 million minus the $400,000 Uncle Sam tax. You live in Santa Monica. Do you know what Teresa Strasser looks like?
No.
She's quite attractive. She's on a TV water cooler on the
TV Guide channel.
Where could Earl find a picture of you, T? Could he go to AdamCarolla.com?
Yeah. AdamCarolla.com, TeresaStrasser.com.
Better. I would say even better in the flesh as well, Earl.
Wow.
So what do you think, Earl?
Is this a love connection show?
Why not a date?
Oh, it's almost Survivor.
Well, listen for 1 second.
It'll be your toughest challenge ever.
I will tell you this. I kid rough saying you're hot, play the violin, you got $500,000, I'd do it with you. I'm pretty much one of those guys that will say anything just for fun. But I will tell you this in all sincerity. You could do a lot worse than Teresa Strasser.
Wow. I agree.
Yeah. By the way, an Emmy award-winning writer. This isn't just some hack girl on the radio.
Now we're talking.
This is an Emmy award winner we're talking about here. You could do worse. Matter of fact, she could do better. She's a fine, fine lady. And if you got a shot, if Adam's going somewhere with this, you should think about it.
Oh, man. So I need to come on you guys' show then and see her in person.
I agree wholeheartedly. Plus, it put a smile on Teresa's alien mom's face.
My mom's fine.
Come to my bachelor party.
Hey, Earl?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you come on out to Bonaducci's bachelor party over at the
That's a good
Key.
Idea.
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah, there's going
to
be chicks everywhere.
Be fighting and stuff like that there, right?
Yeah, it's going to be at the Key Club on Sunset in the evening of May 31st. Why don't we make sure you're on that list, and then we'll give you Teresa Strasser in the flesh.
And if that doesn't work out, since it's my bachelor party and it's the sense that my wife is of almost 20 years has decided to divorce me, it's going to be as much debauchery and mayhem as I can make
it'll
happen.
Be fun, Earl. And by the way, the point is, Earl, congratulations. You have won Survivor, and sorry to put you on the spot.
No, not at all.
All right, Earl. Mazel tov, as Teresa's people say.
Hey, May 31st, I'm there.
We'll see you. It's going to rock.
Yeah, the guy's local.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You just figure the people are from Kansas City and all over the place.
Santa Monica. He's
Santa Monica.
This enhances your bachelor party. We're going to have the Survivor winner there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you know what enhances my bachelor party? My bachelorness.
By the way, Jessica's calling from Seattle, and she wants to know if I hook up with Earl. Does my mom win the matchmaking thing we talked about?
Jessica?
Yes.
Is that your question?
That is my question. Does Teresa's mom get the $10,000 if she hooks up with Earl?
Was the number $10,000 ever given out? Was that an official number?
It was discussed.
Because, I mean, why don't we just, not that I, don't have a little bit or, not bitter, because I know what I signed on for and to be the other guy on the Adam Carolla show, and I'm cool with that, and I make a point to say it. But every now and again, when he whips out $10,000 of his own money and doesn't bat an eye, I think the next contest should be for his left testicle.
Just,
if you win this bet, Adam has to cut one of his nuts out.
There's a tiny bit
of bitterness about all that cash.
Sounds fair.
Okay, good.
Done and done.
Jessica, do you watch Survivor?
I don't, but I listen to your show every day.
God bless you.
Well, thank you, Jessica. And that's an interesting point. And we are trying to get T hooked up. And we do want to give a prize to the winner, although we've not determined what that prize is. But she'll have the ultimate prize, which is a happy daughter.
and some mixed grandkids.
She just wants any grandkids. She's even told me, I swear, my mom said to me, it doesn't matter if they're legitimate.
That's right.
When your mom's maternal advice to you is just go down to a prison. You're bound to get lucky there. That's really what she's getting up the pressure grandchildren.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Unfortunately, she didn't say legitimate. She said legit.
We will take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, well, geez, I've been wanting to get to the news, but now Chuck Barris.
This should be interesting.
A man I have many questions for. Chuck Barris. I grew up watching him on The Gong Show. Turns out he was coked out of his mind most every single episode.
You're super sleuth to figure that out, were you? Hey, thanks for coming on The Gong Show.
I had no idea.
Oh, my God. The man couldn't stand still. He sweat actual solids.
I think it was the top hat pulled down over his eyes that gave it away. But I was so fixated on Mean Gene the Dancing Machine, I didn't know. Or maybe it's Gene the Dancing Machine.
Doesn't matter. First he lost his legs, now he's dead.
Either way, good times. Yeah. Chuck Barris next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Gong Show.
To grow dandelions in Owensburg, Kentucky, unless there's somewhere you can definitely prove the lion isn't dandy. And speaking of dandy, let's meet our next act. His name is
Chuck Barris. Is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, where do you begin with Chuck Barris? I saw your E! True Hollywood Story or whatever the biography was on you, so I learned quite a few.
I think it was both.
Interesting things about Chuck Barris, and we all remember Confessions of a Dangerous Mind a couple of years back with Clooney doing the directing. Chuck, where did it all begin for you? How did you get into show business? How did The Gong Show come about?
Well, I got in as a page at NBC. I worked for ABC when they were getting into daytime television. And they were trying one show after another, and I watched them do that stuff and thought I could do it better than that. Mm-hmm. And I went out to Hollywood and created The Dating Game, sold it back to ABC. That's how I got started.
Did you immediately become a bazillionaire with The Dating Game?
I made more money than I had in the past. Yeah, I mean, I was broke. The whole company was broke. It was Camelot. It was a great time.
That's awesome.
We all started to make money.
Dating Game ran for 18 years.
Yeah.
And also the Newlywed Game, that was yours as well?
That was mine as
nice.
Well.
19 years.
Best format in television. All you needed were four couples, eight questions, and a washer dryer, and you were
wow. right.
home free.
Or some Z-Brick. They really used to give away horrible prizes back then.
Those camper shells? I always wanted one of those. I thought those were cool.
They would give away a year's supply of car wax, and I always thought it'd be funny if they just smeared it on a playing card, because I've had the same thing of turtle wax in my garage for like 25 years. I haven't gone through it yet.
Well, with the wave of the new reality shows, have you found that people will be on TV just to do it now?
Well, that's what I'm writing about in the in The Big Secret. It's the ultimate reality show. It's set 5 years from now. There's a new president. There's new laws of the land. Euthanasia is a thing of the past.
We should say Chuck Barris has written a novel to which he's referring called The Big Question. It's in bookstores now.
Yeah, and it's about it's a game show in which the winning contestant gets a crack at the big question. If they get the question right, they win $100 million. If they get it wrong, they're executed on the stage.
Nice. By the way, Chuck will be at Vroman's bookstore in Pasadena tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow over at Borders in Westwood at 7 p.m. So now you're what age when this stuff starts to take off for you?
Oh, I don't know. I guess in my late 30s or early 40s.
And this is Hollywood circa early 70s, late 60s.
65 is The Dating Game. Mm-hmm. 75 is The Gong Show.
You know, it's weird. We're from the same era of television.
The best.
That's bizarre.
Did you know each other ever? Did you run into each other?
I knew of Danny. But I don't think we met.
Yes,
but did we meet?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You weren't wasted.
I know. I was totally wasted.
I was wasted.
I was wasted.
Who was more wasted?
I was
never wasted.
Is that true? Now, there's a legend of you being a cocaine freak. Is that untrue?
No, I never did drugs. I couldn't. I was an extremist. You know, I would eat 35 packs of gum a day. If I touched a drug, I would have been a junkie immediately.
Well, that's actually really good to know, because that kills a rumor that I completely believed. Because of your behavior and the way you act and stuff, I completely believe that. And I completely believe now when you say, I think you're just the guy that would admit it, that puts a death to a long-lasting rumor that Chuck Barris had that whole Gong Show thing wasted.
No, we never did that. And also, I was running a public company, and you know, if I was a junkie, that company would have gone under in a minute.
But, well, it was the 70s, hell.
Yeah.
Do what you wanted back then. The Gong Show was very sexual when you had the hot twins, like licking the popsicles. And they didn't want you as the host originally. I mean, you'd come up with the show, but they didn't have you slotted to host the show.
No, the original host who was doing the tryouts thought it was a real talent show. I mean, he really did.
Wasn't having fun with it.
No, he thought when J.P. Morgan said something like that singer has lousy socks, get him off the air.
Right.
He thought that was really hurtful. Mm-hmm. And so they had to throw him out. And the vice president said, either you do it, me,
right,
or we're going to replace it. So
had you done performing before
never,
that?
Never.
Because you seem so relaxed, so natural, so high on coke. Is it?
yeah, but
no.
You know,
I mean, you just seem you took to it. You did your own thing. It was like you'd been on stage your whole life.
No, well, you
or
know,
they'd never been on stage and just weren't scared.
Didn't know any better.
Yeah, just weren't scared.
I had the hat down because I couldn't. I was afraid of the audience.
Right.
I did all those nervous twitches and claps and stuff. And when you said I was calm, Adam, I was anything but calm. I mean, I began ratcheting up the excitement factor till I ratcheted myself right off the air. You know?
Right.
You got too excited.
Too excited.
Well, you went kind of crazy there.
It was crazy.
Well, what happened? I mean,
I don't know. I just lost it. I lost it somewhere and been about the fifth year. Also, I think I got bored. You know, it's like, is this, you know, I couldn't. I mean, who could do a thing like Bob Barker host a show for 135 years? I mean,
yeah, because did you ask yourself, like a Peggy Lee, is that all there is? Yeah,
well, basically, and then when I sold the company, I took the money and ran to France and, you know, did the Walter Mitty dream of trying to write the great American novel in the
And you had enough money and you essentially disappeared in France for how long?
10 years.
Until Dangerous Minds?
Well, Dangerous Minds came out in 1980,
right,
and it died. And just laid there for 20 years until somebody found it and Clooney ended up doing
it. Wow.
20 years, that book.
Who did Gary Owens take over for you on the Gong Show, or did it end with you?
No, Gary Owens did it in the very beginning, and I got rid of him and did it myself.
Ah, and, all vague memories. But yeah, as a kid, no greater entertainment than the Gong Show.
No.
Just two guys dressed, stuffed into the same pair of coveralls, playing the harmonica,
right,
while J.P. Morgan. And
said this sexual things, too. Yeah. Guys who were veiled homosexuals.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Was that like the American Idol of its day?
Absolutely.
Except everybody was Sanjaya and down.
That was the point.
Well, once in a while, you'd get somebody who actually had some chops or something. Yeah. But, you know, I always used to wonder, and who was the original judges? And I never knew, like, who J.P. Morgan was. Yeah. J.P. Morgan was famous from being on your show, but not before that. What did she do before that?
Gold record. She had about five. She was a singer.
Really?
A really good singer. And people just don't seem to remember that at all. But we had J.P., Jamie Farr, and Artie Johnson were like,
I loved Artie Johnson. Yes. Always.
And they'd be mean to the contestants.
No. We never were mean to the contestants.
Right.
We always tried to make them have fun. And although they were idiots, you know, some of them were ridiculous, whatever they did, we always kind of tried to treat them as this, you know,
like some busted chops in a lighthearted way.
With the gong. It's a big gong.
Oh, yeah.
And another celebrity panelist would physically stop you because they liked the act. And the celebrities would become the Gong Show because
right,
they're now fighting over the paddle that will gong the gong. It was really like this self-fulfilling prophecy of oddity.
Just neat. Was there any acts the network put the kibosh on, said this is too racy, can't do this on TV.
Well, every time we went down with about 50 or 60 acts, and we were going to, and we taped Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they had a standards and practices person down there, a guy and a man and a woman, who would come running down and say, that act, it's got to go. Mm-hmm. Arbitrary, just threw the act out. So I started to figure out, you know, a way to beat that is bring down unairable acts.
Right.
And
right.
they would come down and run down and say, you can't put that on air.
Brilliant.
And that's what happened with the Popsicle Twins. Brilliant. I mean, they were out of the studio, and these two little girls come down, and I don't hear from them. And I thought, well, maybe they're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought maybe they went out for, the census went out for a cup of coffee or something.
They don't.
So I put them on the show. And all hell broke loose. I mean, it just
made one appearance.
They performed oral on a popsicle.
With they were 16 and 17 years old. They had little freckles.
So they're combined ages.
Oh, my
old
God.
Yeah.
And today's wave of reality shows, where some people have done some real damage to their careers, such as myself, and the rules seem to not really apply as much. Your new novel is The Big Question. I was asked to do a celebrity fear factor, and I said no, because there was nothing to be afraid of. They won't let you get hurt. If you do it where somebody really gets hurt, and the guy who gets hurt at least wins, I'll do it. I would just like you to know, if you can turn The Big Question into a real show where there's $100 million up against death, I'll play.
For one question.
You know something, Danny? Yeah. Tons of people would.
I'll play.
I'm telling you. You wouldn't be.
I'm volunteering right now.
You could not. You could get contestants for this show immediately.
Mm. You just did. You know. I'm not kidding with
this
you.
One
I'm
question
to know.
Is
I'll
just
play.
General trivia.
Bonaducci.
No.
$100 million
bucks.
You know figures. You know.
I'm pretty good at history.
You know Europe. All right. How many pounds in a metric ton?
In a metric ton. And this is against $100 million
versus Chuck Bear shooting you right now.
Right.
No, I don't shoot you.
Let me make sure, because
on,
the money might have
you.
To go up.
I would
it's
never
a painless
shoot you,
death.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it an excruciating death?
It's a little excruciating, a little bit. You just drink some poison.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So like Socrates.
Hemlock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Hemlock.
Then I'm going to go with in a metric ton, there is 2,200 pounds.
I think that is correct.
Thank you very much. I will take my $100 million. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
That's...
Now I'm going to kill you and take the $100 million from you.
And that's only fair in the doggy dog world that I can't have.
Look it up, kids. I think there is 2,200 pounds in
there. No, I think we got something here. I'll play.
But you see, I don't advocate this kind of show.
I
would
do.
Never produce it in a million years. It's sort of like just a commentary on where television is going now.
Right.
It's sort of mean-spirited, angry, sort of gross. All the things that I was accused of doing in the 60s.
Which I actually did in the 90s.
Joe has a question about Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, I do believe. Joe?
As do we all. It was amazing.
How you doing, Adam?
Good. How
Adam?
Are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Hey, my hero. Anyway, Chuck Barris, you're one of my American heroes and television heroes growing up. I have a question about the movie. Now, I hope you don't mind answering a question or two, but how accurate was the movie? I know it was an unofficial story, and I know there's probably so much you can say, but how accurate was the beginning when they sent you out to the farm?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into that because all I ever get is trouble getting into that question. So I got to sidestep that one, if you don't mind.
You're
okay.
Right.
Well, that's not how you sidestep. You sidestep by saying something that sounds like an answer. That sounds like I'm not telling.
Well, the question is this fiction or was Chuck Barris actually a CIA assassin?
That's right. That's what the question is.
And you don't give an answer to that question.
Never.
I've heard you do many interviews.
How about this? For any reason, are there any government or just personal reasons of vendetta and dislike? You ever kill a guy?
I'm not going to answer that, Danny.
Just ask I just want to see if there was a way, you know, to get there without offending you.
No. I'll just tell you that.
I'm fairly confident that last guy was alive when I left him.
Well, all sorts of journalists have checked it out, and they've gone to their CIA contacts, and all the CIA contacts said, no, I was never in. But they never would say if I was. But one said, you know, I must have been standing too close to the gong and funny little things like that. Mm-hmm. But they never admit it if you were, so... I'm covered.
Well, here's the question.
You're good with me, man. Chuck, you sold it. It makes you my hero.
Here's the question, Chuck Barris, though. If, in fact, you were ex-CIA, why not talk about it? I mean, what danger would there be in talking about it at this stage?
I don't know. I can't answer. I just don't know if there would be a danger or not, but I just don't ever feel like saying whether I was or wasn't.
Do you think you will at some point? Like, remember when the guy who was deep throat in the Watergate scandal came out, you know, towards the end of his life and told that he had been deep throat?
Mm. No, Teresa, I wouldn't tell anybody anything ever.
Really? Even like, so no, when you're,
death
God forbid,
confessional?
Even after that, how about a thing like the Kennedys had a lot of things, so did a lot of government officials, not to be open until 20 years after my death.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance of that, that after, but I'm
we hope you have a very long life.
Just so you know.
I do too.
Just so you know, Mr. Barris, I am a chain-smoking, recovering addict from everything, so I'm never going to live long enough to see this letter of yours.
Yeah.
So, I want you to know I'm not doing this out of personal gain, because you're going to outlive me by a decade. But is there any chance that you will answer these questions posthumously?
No.
Good enough for me.
That's
a hard-hitting interview, by the dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you can tell, how much time you going to spend when a man like Chuck Barris, who's done what he has done, says never know, I don't believe we're going to talk him into it on the Adam Carolla show.
Chuck.
So let's talk about, did you ever do it with J.P. Morgan?
No.
Okay.
Well, all right. What about those popsicle twins?
No.
You're killing me, Barris.
I'm sorry.
How about
Danny?
Avery Shriver?
No.
All right. He's the Doritos guy with the big mustache.
George Clooney.
No.
I'd do it with Clooney if it came down to it.
Clooney.
This is amazing.
Clooney directed the movie. How were you on set quite a bit? Did you spend much time with him? How did you find him?
George is great. He let me come on set, and he asked me questions. He made me feel wanted, and there was no reason to. Because,
Rick,
you know, I didn't have to.
By the way, Rick on line two from Chino says he was on the Gong Show first season.
Oh, wow.
Rick?
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Teresa and, of course, Chuck?
Yes.
Oh. What, am I not here? Or do you just hate me?
And Danny, I'm sorry.
Thank
I love
you.
Danny.
Hi, Rick.
I share a lot of personality traits of Danny.
Sorry to hear.
I mean, you must be very charming.
Tell Danny to move on.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir.
What was your act? And we'll see if Chuck can remember it.
I did impressions, and the one that I won the show, I tied with some karate guy. I did Robert Blake as Beretta.
Can you still do it?
Yeah, I can do it. It went like this. It's a little early, but... Look, partner, you got the ball, and I know when it's coming down. So either come clean now and cop a lesser plea, or I'm going to nail you. I'm going to bust you for the Big Apple. I'm talking about Murder One, and you can take that to the bank, you rummy.
That was very good.
No,
that
was good.
And
you tied to win?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Do you remember him, Chuck Barris?
I remember Chuck stumbling over my name. Of course, I didn't use my real name. I used the name Rico Sloan.
I stumbled over Rico Sloan?
Yes, you did.
Wow.
And I remember the day I auditioned for the show. I had just moved out here from back east a couple of years prior to that, and I took the bus down to Hollywood, and I think it was on Cahuenga.
That's right.
And the first time I went in, they videotaped me, and then I came back for the second audition, and Chuck was there, and he played the guitar for me while I sang The Lady is a Tramp.
No kidding.
What was your impression of Chuck Barris back then?
I, like a lot of people, I just thought he was very cool, and it was a real thrill to meet him that day. I'll never forget my parents.
What would you win?
$532.16.
Oh, that's right.
To be on TV,
not bad.
That was a joke. And he didn't have to split it up with the karate expert.
No, I think he also got the same amount. And then we both got Gong Show trophies.
Yeah, they were really ridiculous.
Good times.
Did you do $1.98 beauty contest?
Was that yes.
You? Oh, yeah. That was you.
Yeah,
well, Rip Taylor.
Taylor.
And then about a year after the Gong Show, I was getting macaroni and cheese in the mail from one of their sponsors, I believe.
Yeah, there used to be the year supply of, which it was always unclear how much you went through in a year, because what if you didn't eat any? I guess they would have to average it out to a box a week or whatever it was. But there was a big thing on the year supply and the lifetime supply.
Yeah. Hey, and Adam.
Yeah.
You were asking about Gary Owens. I was also on the Nighttime Gong Show, which Gary hosted, and Chuck, you know, he was in partnership, I guess, with Chris Beard.
Yeah.
Is that right, Chuck?
Yeah.
And then about 10 years later, Chris Beard tried to reinvent the show or bring it back to TV at a different network.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I auditioned for that and got on, and then I got gonged.
And not to hurt anybody's feelings, but Star Search is just a rip. Do you just take away the gong? That's all. That's all they did was send it to Mr. Barris's show.
And do people talk about reviving the Gong Show? I mean, everyone kind of fondly remembers it. Couldn't be, you know, it's a pretty good time for it with all the reality shows out there and American Idol and all that stuff. A revised version of it with, you know, Andy Dick and Bonaducci sitting in the panel there. I mean, that's a good time. Has anyone talked to you about it? Has anyone tried to license it?
I don't own it anymore. When I sold the company, I sold it to Sony, and Sony owns the show, and I don't know what they're doing with it. But, you know, I think that if I wasn't hosting the Gong Show at that time, producing it instead, and somebody else was hosting it, that show might have still been on.
Really?
Because it had longevity, and I just got bored and messed it all up.
I think you're too tough on yourself.
I
was young, but I remember liking you and thinking you were just fine.
But Chuck Barris was telling us that he sort of cracked up towards the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, it something happened, and you know, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I've seen, like, when you saw that thing that was on the Game Show Channel, I was bashing a flat with right on while the show was going on. I mean, what kind of
you're just punching the set.
I was breaking up a flat with a crowbar or something.
A flat is one of the panels that would comprise a set, though, right?
Yes, exactly. And you know, I don't know what I was doing.
Well, that's what I'm going to say from now on. It's just like, I don't know. Because people always ask me, I did a reality show where I went crazy in the middle of it and lost my job and was taken away, literally, on TV. And that's just such an honorable way to say it, because I keep trying to answer it like there's an answer. And there's not.
I feel like you're being honest. You were just bored.
I don't know what happened. You know, I think it was boredom.
All right. The big question is the new novel.
Which I just won. By the way, $100. I'm not dead.
220 pounds in a metric ton. So I think.
Doesn't matter. I fooled
doesn't
the
Doesn't matter. That's the answer I was thinking, which is good enough for the answer. Bears. I wouldn't pull the lever. In bookstores and online now, and Chuck can be found tonight at Vroman's Bookstore in Pasadena, 7 o'clock, and tomorrow at Borders in Westwood. T, what's the name of the place where they lend you the books?
The library?
Library, that's right. Doesn't have the word book in it. That's why it's always confusing. We'll take a quick break. Hey, T?
Yep.
Let's do the news we never got to 2 hours ago. What the hell?
Yeah, we'll find out about Ty Pennington. Was he drunk? Was he on drugs? What was the deal? And why is Paris Hilton suicidally depressed?
We'll do that next. Chuck, congrats to you, and we'll be back with the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Danny's single again, and Adam Carolla is throwing in the bachelor party he never had.
Nice.
Yeah, let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
May 31st at the Key Club in Los Angeles, it's the Danny Bonaducci Bachelor Party.
Dynamite!
We'll have strippers.
I want women.
Booze.
Great.
A lot more strippers.
I want some. How much?
And probably a lot more booze, too.
All the things that make life worth living for.
It starts at 7 and ends whenever the cops show up.
Whoa! The cops!
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
That would be out of sight, dude.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good time.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget with just the strippers and booze, that the active search will be on. You know, there's a job opportunity called Mrs. Bonaducci that is now vacant, and I intend to fill it.
Taking applications.
I don't choose to live alone. I like to be in love. So, I mean, strippers will be fun and stuff, but if you're a nice little girl and you show up and say hi, please feel free.
I'm in love with the notion of being in love.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know if I like the... Got to figure that out.
You like it, but you don't love it?
I love the notion of being in love, but I don't love it.
No. Okay.
I'm not
in love with the notion of being in love, but I do. I love it like a friend.
I'm like a sister. In love with being in love.
I'm in love with my sister.
I actively love like crazy. My problem has always been my wiener.
Right.
It loves everybody equally.
I don't love Danny's wiener.
Do you love my wiener like a brother's wiener?
I love your wiener like a son loves his father's
wiener. I'm never going to get tired of this.
Okay, that's better than a father loves his son's wiener, because then I would just feel like you were just making a size
like
joke.
Like a coach
and
loves
you're a creepy bastard
his...
with the size jokes anyway. I've been meaning to point that out.
Like a coach loves his players.
Like a coach loves his players' wieners?
Take
that's
a
not... Grab a knee. Helmet's not a chair. Break it down, gentlemen.
All right, glad we got it.
I use that term loosely. All right, ladies, this is not leisure work.
Had no idea where Leisure World was when I was eight.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Lazy people,
A lot of talk about Leisure World when I was playing football. I hope that one day, God willing, I'll end up in Leisure World so
Wouldn't
I can enjoy
suck?
It.
You buy a ticket to Westworld and you think you're going to shoot it out with Yul Brynner and you end up in Leisure World and everybody's wearing polyester suits?
I just hope somewhere in Leisure World there's a football coach screaming, "This is Leisure World, gentlemen."
You are here. Arise, you are here. Welcome to Leisure World, ladies.
Ladies. I hope there's an all-women's football team at Leisure World so the guy can finally say, "Ladies, and this is Leisure World."
And the helmets
World.
Are made out of chairs.
Yes.
And the helmets are chairs, yes. There you go. No sitting on the helmets. T.
Yes.
Why can't you sit on your helmet? You know, it is uncomfortable. Grab any gentleman.
Why can't you sit on my helmet and just be done with it?
I'm not in love. I'm in love. Okay. T?
Yes.
Enough about Danny's weenie. How about your news?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
If you're in the military and you use networking sites like MySpace and YouTube, the Pentagon says no more. You can no longer go onto those and nine other popular networking sites. Good. You think that's good?
Do you see my screen today?
Yes.
I came in this morning and I heard myself on the radio paying more attention to the MySpace people than I was to Corolla. I heard it. I could hear it. And I said, I don't have the self-control. And I came in and I unplugged all the electronics.
Hmm.
Mm. So, now, you don't want the military men to have those distractions.
Well, I also have had problems with my wife over it. I flirted on it. She came downstairs and used my computer. She didn't do, you know, my wife doesn't do anything terribly wrong. But when I turned on my computer yesterday, her entire MySpace was on it. It just came up. And, you know, I think it's nothing but trouble. I think it's nothing but trouble.
You're very self-aware.
But now, how about the communication back with home?
There's got to be a better
way. Here's the thing. You're talking about the military. Now, they can still go to internet cafes, which I think are very popular in the Middle East, as long as they're not on the Defense Department's network, because, of course, they're concerned about security.
Yeah. Look, as long as you can communicate with your loved ones, so be it. Look, when you're in the military, here's the deal. They get to tell you what to do for 4 years.
Right.
For Christ's sake, you're putting yourself in harm's way. Someone is paying you $900 a month to get shot at. This is nothing compared to that. As long as you can communicate with your family, so be it.
Yeah, you can still email.
I agree with that. But I do, when they sell this was about a month ago, I went with my daughter to Hot Topic, and all the T-shirts in the front window said, one was, "You looked better on MySpace." The second T-shirt said, "MySpace ruined my relationship." And they don't just make up T-shirts like that. Everybody I know has been trashed over MySpace at least once, including me, and now my wife.
Good times.
Good times. Now, here's a story about a father, and if you're ever concerned about being a bad father, you should always, always keep this story in mind because it's one of the worst that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 32-year-old man in New Jersey, and it was his son's birthday this weekend. The son was turning two.
Mm-hmm.
So to celebrate his son's birthday, this father, coincidentally named Danny, locked his baby named Adonis in his Lexus and then went drinking to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
9 hours later, this father woke up hungover at home, had no idea where his car was, had no idea where his child was. So the whole family went searching, and they found this little boy, Adonis. He was still inside the car in a nearby parking lot. He'd been in there for 9 hours with only some potato chips that had been left inside the car to eat, and there were scratch marks on the inside of the windows where he'd been trying to get out of the car.
Yeah, you got to crack the window so the kid can breathe. That's the
plus,
first thing I learned in Mommy and Me.
If you're going to look at me and say, and his name was Danny, let me just say, us Nissan drivers don't lock the kids in the car. That's a Lexus thing.
A Lexus thing. Well, fortunately, he is doing very well. He was taken to the hospital, treated for dehydration and heat exhaustion. I guess it was hot. And the father was arrested and charged with endangering the welfare of a child. He was released on $75,000 bail. Now, his mother says that this guy's a good father. He just had one drink too many.
Mm. Well, Christmas is coming up. How do they celebrate that one? Chain him to a radiator?
Lock him in a smaller car.
No, put him in the trunk for Chris, for Hanukkah?
Yeah, for eight days.
Well, somebody else who had some cocktails, Ty Pennington, the host of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, he was busted recently for DUI, and here's what he had to say on E.T.
If you make a mistake, I think you ought to step up and, you know, admit that you did. The fans have been awesome. I have to be honest with you. You know, I've gotten hundreds of emails from everyone. It's nice to know that people really care.
And now Now, some people wonder if he was on drugs or just drunk. Here's what he had to say on that.
There were no drugs involved, but because of California law, you know, it says driving under the influence, it means alcohol or drugs. So there's confusion there, but the truth of it is there are no drugs involved, no.
No, he's never
smoked. That's not true at all.
Pot.
He
just cleared that up.
That's not true at all. That is not true at all. He made that up.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. There's driving under the influence, and there's possession of a controlled substance. Totally different things. If there were any drugs in the car, it would have been marked controlled substance and then classed.
Well, he could have been high on drugs and not had them in the car.
It would still be filed that he was under the influence of a controlled substance.
Well, the guy plays a pretend carpenter on TV.
So he's pretend sober?
Well, who cares?
I only care because I know that you don't like him. So any enemy is of my friend is my enemy. You know what I mean? If Corolla doesn't like him or Teresa doesn't like him or Brian doesn't like him, that's it. They're dead to me.
I do not mind Ty Pennington. I mind the people that created him. He is not a carpenter. That's all. He portrays a carpenter on TV.
He's talking about our creator and a carpenter. It's just got all religious on us in like a second.
Well, another person in the news for DUI, Paris Hilton.
Let me say something.
All right, then.
About carpentry.
Yes.
You see, everyone mistakes being a carpenter with being handy. It's not open for negotiation. You either know that studs are 16 on center or 24 on center. You either know what a header is or cripple is or a king stud or the bottom plates are treated or used double top plates. You know what crickets are and hold downs. You either know what this stuff is or you don't. No, right. If you don't, you're not a carpenter. You're just not. You could be handy, but you're not a carpenter. It's really straightforward stuff, but you either know it or you don't. It's not open for negotiation. It's like you're not a computer expert if you don't know what Control-Alt-Delete means, and you can't be.
Oh,
you can use
a
computer.
Yes.
The Control-Alt-Delete.
I can do that.
That's the one thing I could probably do, too. But if you were talking to a computer, a so-called computer expert, and you said, how do I boot this thing up? And he said, I have no idea. Then you'd realize you weren't talking to a computer expert. When I talked to Ty Pennington, I realized very quickly I wasn't talking to a carpenter. That's all.
Yes, listen.
He was sold to me as a master carpenter. And that's the only part I have a beef with.
And as I said, and I've said it to Teresa or anybody else I consider my friend, that once you cross the line with one of my friends, there's no coming back ever. I'm so Italian about that.
He did not do anything personally to me.
I swear to God, if he came up onto me in the street and gave me one excuse to smack him, I would smack him.
I
think I was doing it for you.
I appreciate it. It's just a man is an imposter. That's all.
There you go. Now, Paris Hilton. You may recall, although it's barely been in the news, that she'll be going to jail because of a hearing back on May 4th over her driving when she has a suspended license,
etc. Did I not break down the sentencing to you? Remember when you said she was going to serve 45 days
and
I told you what she'd do? I was right almost to the day.
She was sentenced to 45. She will probably serve half or less than half
about
of
17.
That, as Danny correctly predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. There's another lawsuit filed against her. This diamond heiress named Zetta Graff is suing her for $10 million for spreading vicious lies. Now, here's the thing.
Don't know who she is, but I'm attracted to her.
Diamond heiress does
sound
hot.
Diamond heiress. Because there's so much intrigue, and diamonds are, like, nasty. Sneak them out of Africa and stuff. Very cool.
Paris Hilton's shrink is saying that she cannot show up to testify in this lawsuit because, according to TMZ.com, she has a very delicate state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her therapist is saying that she is, quote, emotionally distraught and traumatized from the May 4th hearing, and she cannot effectively respond to examination as a witness or provide any significant input into her defense.
Well, by the way, there's no way she sits through 50 minutes of therapy without being on the cell phone 45 minutes out of the 50.
You think she's on the sidekick during
Paris
the therapy?
Paris Hilton does not. I did some celebrity Super Bowl go-kart race or something with her once. They were doing the part where they were explaining the rules to everybody, and the guy was standing in there, you know, the blowhard guy. Okay, people, listen, this is pretty serious. Those cars aren't toys. People could get hurt out here, so it's all just focus for a couple minutes to have a safe race. At a certain point, he said, Paris is going to be the flag girl. And he looked up Paris, and she was on the cell phone in the back of the room. She's never not on the cell phone. Maybe she's on the cell phone with another therapist while she's in therapy.
Yeah.
But I don't know what she's going to do. She should argue like Native Americans did with peyote that she should be able to bring her cell phone into prison because it's part of her life.
You know, I have the pleasure of having been there for all of that.
happened at the Dragonfly, where I worked the door every, not every Sunday night, but every so often for my friend Jason.
Right.
And I actually bounce. Well, they won't let me bounce anymore because I'm too violent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so little, people will fight back. So they're giant real bouncers that people are afraid of. But I was there that night when they heaved her out on the street. It was awesome.
Yeah. When they heaved Paris Hilton out.
Right, other than that, she got busted right across the street.
Well, her therapist has successfully argued on her behalf, saying that if she did go to court, it would exacerbate her current mental condition.
Oh, by the way, her therapist is doing a wonderful job.
Yeah.
What is his name? I need a referral.
Dr. Charles Sophie.
I'm going to send my daughter there as soon as she can walk. She's doing a fantastic job with Paris Hilton.
Well, the Dr. Sophie did a great job of getting her out of this trial. The judge postponed until August 22nd. Now, if I didn't do anything that would exacerbate my current mental condition, I would not leave the house.
That's a good point.
Good point.
And let me just briefly get to this. There's another celebrity in the news who's very depressed. Joe Francis, the guy from Girls Gone Wild.
Mm-hmm.
TMZ also reporting on this one that he may be suicidally depressed. His legal team has filed a petition asking for him to be extradited to Nevada as soon as possible. He wants to get out of the Florida prison that he's in.
Mm.
And the psychiatrist saying that he could be a suicide risk.
Mm-hmm.
He can't handle jail.
Isn't that the best place for you then? I mean, if you're a suicide risk, locked up where we can keep an eye on you, we'll just take your shoestrings and leave you in the cage?
No.
Right.
Where do we put you if you want to commit suicide?
Home with sharp things.
Home with sharp things and let him kill himself?
Yeah. And I know him, and he's been nothing but kind to me, but are you telling me, just yesterday we had the houseboat of fog. What does it do?
It sterilizes you?
Yeah, the houseboat of fog was sterilization.
I didn't remember that one.
And today, right. We want this guy to live. He can kill him. Joe Francis can kill himself as far as I'm concerned. How about it?
Yeah, I'm all for anyone who wants to kill themselves, killing themselves.
Especially somebody who's in jail on charges of videotaping minors in sexual situations.
Yeah, just don't. The reason suicide is illegal originally is because people kept jumping and landing on people.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
It's not a real moral question.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Do we have time for one last story?
Sure.
American Idol's on tonight. It's down to three people. They're each going to sing three songs, one chosen by the singer, one chosen by the judges, one chosen by Clive Davis. And Lakeisha, who was eliminated, was on Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what she had to say.
Want the secret one?
Yes.
All right, so you kissed Simon, but in real life, you're in love with Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
She'd crush him.
She literally has a crush.
She'd break his bone.
Physically, he's my friend.
Crush his ribcage.
Yeah?
You gotta wait till November, though.
Why is that?
We got this little fraternization thing going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we gotta wait till November.
You have to wait till November to be able to do that?
God, I know.
I heard there were a couple of people in there that were hooking up and not paying attention to those rules.
Uh-huh.
You know who they are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Is she a great big fat person?
Apparently, you have to wait 6 months. To have an affair with somebody where it's fraternizing.
Who?
Maybe that's just specifically secret.
Or were they referring to? Who's Ellen referring to?
Yeah.
I don't know, take a shot.
I think she was referring to the Justin Timber fake guy, Chris Richardson, and Haley. I think I heard that rumor unsubstantiated. That's just a rumor.
Now I can sleep tonight.
Yes. Yeah, but I think she was, I think it was totally, I heard those guys were doing it. Like, I just asked the Survivor Earl. Did you hook up on the island? Expecting whatever you expect. You just take your shot. I don't know that she knew anything. She was just taking a shot.
She sounded very knowing. But anyway, Lakeisha has a big crush on Ryan Seacrest.
That would be funny.
We have a little something to tack on the end of the news. I was watching CNN this morning, as I do, at 5 a.m. I eat my poached eggs. I feed my dog Molly and I watch myself some CNN.
Good for you.
And I dream about the day ahead. And what is... All right.
Wow,
and
that's good.
Do you like your day ahead like you love your day behind? Wait.
I'm not a morning person, let's put it that way. But I was watching this clip on CNN that got me very excited. This is a reporter. I think he's a British guy. Maybe Irish or Scottish or something. He got into it with some guy from Scientology. He was doing an expose on Scientology or a documentary on Scientology. And the Scientology guy said, stop calling our religion a cult. And this guy went from zero to about 200 in the yelling department in about a second and a half. Yeah, just listen to this.
I'm not stopping here. You listen to me for a second. No. You're accusing members of my religion of engaging in brainwashing.
No, Tommy, you stop. Listen to me. You were not there at the beginning of that incident.
of you. Brain you won the fair.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
He sounds like a Mike Myers character. That he wasn't being dragged away and yelling. They were nose to nose. And he just started wigging out. I mean, it sounds like...
And the Scientologist sounds normal, comparatively speaking.
It sounds like somebody, security grabbed him and was dragging him toward the door, and he was yelling, "You haven't seen the last of me. Good day."
Good
no,
day
he did not move. He was face to face. There were like an umpire and a major league manager yelling at each other at home plate, except for the one guy wasn't yelling and the other guy went
insane.
Brain-
no, tell me you saw it. No, listen to me. You were not there at the beginning of that interview.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Cruz.
That's good unbiased journalism, number one.
That's the reporter.
That's the reporter.
That's the reporter.
I'm Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
I don't know why it reminded me some years ago. It's really out of a movie. We were going on, I don't know, season one or season two or something of The Man Show. And we went to Pasadena for the upfronts or the cable, whatever. You go out there and they unveil all the new shows and all the news people come out and they interview and they ask the questions and they want to know, blah, blah, blah. So first off, it was very funny because they were doing the Daily Show and then they would do whatever, South Park. And then me and Jimmy would take the stage and they do that thing where they trotted us out and then we would say, well, The Man Show's peek behind the curtain at what goes on in the male psyche, and now we'd open it up for questions. Debbie Liebling, the producer, whatever, from Comedy Central, our executive, nice, motherly Jewish woman, pulled us aside before we went up on stage and said, look, I know the real Jimmy and the real Adam. You're both great guys. You're nice guys. You're not misogynist. I'm not going to tell you what to say when you're up on stage, but let's let people see that side of you. Not the side that thinks you're the beer-swilling misogynist, but the funny, jovial, non-misogynistic, friendly, family-oriented guys that you really are, that I know you as. I mean, just put your best foot forward up there. Let's get these people on your side. And we said, yeah, sure. I mean, we're good guys, and we're not interested in, you know, getting anyone angry.
Right.
So we walked up on stage, and we said, all right, well, we're the guys from The Man Show. Any questions? And some fat lesbian raised her hand immediately.
Yeah.
And said, instead of having the chicks dance around and calling it the Juggy Dance Squad, why don't you just make them all black and call them the Darky Dance Squad? And Jimmy took a pause and said, why don't you sit your fat ass down?
Nice.
And I said, when we start the Retardo Dance Squad, we'll make sure and give you a call.
Nice.
And Debbie Liebling just put her hands in her face. Later on, and this is what reminded me
you
of
it. You got another season from that.
Yeah, so because we thought, look, there's no arguing with this person. Why not? Later on, we were having a cocktail and standing out in the lawn and talking to various reporters with their little mini recorders wanting to know about The Man Show. And the same chick ran up to us and said, I want you to know you both have small penises, and took off. And the guy, without flinching, from like the Minnesota Herald, who was doing an interview with us, said, that's good unbiased journalism. And kept going with his interview. And it just reminded me of that. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, something we always want to do and never seem to get to. Angel Adam, Devil Danny, you have dilemmas. You have problems. You know how the game goes. I'm the angel. Danny's the devil. 866-901-ADAM. Angel Adam, Devil Danny, next.
Got a moral dilemma?
I do construction, and boss man smokes a whole bunch of weed.
Ask Angel Adam.
I call it getting the man help. He can hurt himself on the construction site, or worse, hurt others.
Or Devil Danny.
You don't report him because he could injure somebody. You've met him injure you.
Call 866-901-ADAM.
You could never feel guilt or shame of any kind.
Bonaducci is very good at this. I don't say that too often.
Angel Adam.
Devil Danny.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you heard it. 866-901-ADAM. Tell us one of your dilemmas. Guy wants to know if he should skip a wedding for a poker tournament. That's nice. Benign, but a dilemma. Cheat on girlfriend.
Should he pay off tab at pool hall? Mm. Wow, it's like problems from the 50s.
I know.
It really is.
I like that.
The dame had great gams. What can I do?
Yeah, listen, Mac. I was drinking a highball. Yeah. All right.
What did you turn into Snively Whiplash at the end there?
Yeah. I think Edward G. Robinson is right. Top of the world, Mom. Top of the world. All right. 22 Skidoo. Let's begin.
That scared me.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
I'm going to have to really get my game face on here and stick to my angel guns because skipping out on a wedding is something I feel tailor-made to give advice on. Justin?
Yes, sir.
From Phoenix?
Yes, sir.
What is the dilemma, my son?
Well, the dilemma is as my best friend's having his wedding on Saturday, but I have a all-day poker tournament to go to. Mm-hmm. And I could get a chance to win $500, and I won $200 last week because I was in it.
Well, I'm going to be sarcastic and facetious at the same time. Not that I know the difference between the two words. I will be sarficious. The Greek god of sass, Sarficius. Sarficius says, my friend, are you going to play the goddamn music, man? Thank you. Sorry to slip out of character to yell at Brian for a second. Who never wants to cue the music.
What are your wings
just singed? Jeez.
Sarficius says, sure, your best friend gets married every weekend, but when is there ever going to be another poker tournament? Do you get my drift? There's a poker tournament on every corner and every casino and on every Indian reservation and on every online computer gambling website every day of the year, but your best friend gets married at best 2.5 times, according to latest consensus polls, a year, my friend, and that's where your allegiance lies. Instead, you want to hang with a bunch of chain-smoking degenerates wearing 3 pairs of sunglasses and hats they got at the track? I think you need to focus. Don't gamble on your friendship. Attend the wedding. Devil Danny, how say you?
Sarficius, they put it this way. First of all, wedding is a gamble, and statistically, you have better chance of winning the poker game. So if you're just playing to win, statistically, you should go to the game. But think about it this way. Angel Adam pointed out to us that there is gambling on every Indian reservation, and do you know why? Because they took a gamble with us that those blankets we sent them that were full of smallpox would keep them warmer at night. So what happened is they all got decimated, and a century down the line, they are all now doing better than they ever would have done. The American Indian didn't even have the wheel when we got here. We came in, we took over, now they're a growing, amazing society. World War II, Japan bombed them back into the Stone Age, now they're the most prosperous country in the world. You go to this guy's wedding, you skip his wedding, you take your gamble, you win your money, and I promise you, nothing will hinder his chances of winning the game of life about you doing what you want.
All right, Justin, there you have it. Both sides of the coin. Thinking about Indians, we call it maize. Search your soul. And I don't want to correct Danny. They had the wheel, but they were flipping it sideways like a pancake instead of rolling it. We taught them to roll it. You would see Indians with carts were just flop, flop, flop. We taught them to roll it.
More efficient.
All right. Where are we? Art.
I need sex and drugs.
From San Diego.
Hey, questions.
Angel
hey,
Adam.
Show.
Devil
love
Danny.
Show.
Thank you.
We love you, man.
What's the dilemma, brother, man?
Hey, I have a girl, and she's really sweet, and I cheat on her all the time. Should I cut her loose, or should I keep this hiding my cheatingness? What should
mm-hmm.
I do?
I'm going to give you a C. No, not all of the above. Thanks, Brian. Not all the above, but a third option. Don't dump her. Don't keep cheating. Stay with her and dump cheating. That's what needs to be dumped. Not her. Your wicked, wicked ways. Wait a minute. Where is he? Did he just fall off the line?
Yeah.
You bastard. You never cut me off in the middle of sound advice. G7 crap. Oh, sorry.
All right.
if I may, first of all.
All right, you can address it anyway.
I will address this very, very briefly. I will address this in under 37 seconds, if you don't mind. First of all, you are doing this most self-esteem harlot a favor. Are you under the impression that you've met the one hot chick you can repeatedly cheat on and she doesn't know? She doesn't think she's good enough. She doesn't think she's worthy. She thinks she deserves to be treated this way, and she's right. You give her a man that pays attention to her, gives her what she needs, and still has fun on the outside. You are serving this poor, self-loathing creature to her core. This is what she needs to feel like a human being. She's one of those people that, just like they said in the Nine Inch Nails song, I hurt myself just to see that I'm alive. That's what she needs. She needs the pain that you give to her. You're doing her a favor.
Mm. Well,
37 seconds in the second.
Solid as Sears. We need to take a break. Let me just tease one before we do that. Should I hook up with X who's married? Ryan?
Yes, sir.
Your ex is remarried but wants a last fling with you?
Yeah, but the catch is her husband 12 months ago was in a major car accident.
Ooh, perfect.
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 Wow. He's paralyzed, have sex with her right next to him.
He's permanently disabled?
She's optimistic, but I think it's just because, you know, like, she's forced
optimistic. If it's been a year and you still have to be optimistic, that's not a great sign. Well, hang on, Ryan. Does he hook up after the tragic accident and remarriage of the ex? We'll do it next with more Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Hi there, I'm Hugh Hefner, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
I was at the Playboy Mansion last night, supporting my brethren Heshers, and looked up to the top of what was, no exaggeration, an 80-foot-tall pine tree to see peacocks at the very top of the tree just making as much noise as a 30-pound bird could make. You think a 9-ounce bird can make noise, try a 30-pound bird. I never see them going up there. I just see them there, and it struck me that they're parallel with Hef's bedroom.
And oh, my God.
The groundskeeper said they do it all night until the sun comes up. There's 20 peacocks at the top of a pine tree just going, "Aah!" And it's like mating season or something. And this stuff just cuts through the night air. I would have the shotgun with the rock salt. Two nights into that, it'd be peacock hunting season at the mansion.
It's so funny. But the shotgun with the rock salt is the answer to almost everything with me.
Sure.
That chick's really bugging me. Well, shotgun rock salt.
All right, Angel Adam, Devil Danny, when we left off, we were speaking to Ryan. Ryan? Now, shut up, Ryan. Jack. He's so passive aggressive. Ryan?
Yes.
I'm sorry, my brother.
Yes,
what's the dilemma again, my son?
Okay. A few years ago, I met this girl and we dated and hooked up and had fun. And then I moved away and now I'm going back to where she lives for a conference and she wants to hook up again. Mm-hmm. But her husband. She's married. Her husband was in a car accident like over 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. And she wants to do stuff with me, but, you know.
I understand the dilemma. You sound like a righteous man, Ryan.
I am.
And I think I know what you can and can't do potentially. This is not in your vocabulary. You've already had sex with this young lady, what, 100 times?
Ish.
See, how long were you married?
I wasn't married.
No, they were married. Together.
They were together.
Would it...
Hi, Teresa.
Would
Hi. It, would it
Jewish.
Be, you're Jewish.
I'm an investment analyst in Beverly Hills.
All right. So having sex 100 times is like 500 times for a Gentile.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. Done the Jewish
One
math.
One time he even got oral.
It's like cat ears. Oh, that's into the billions. Ryan?
Yes.
My friend, would 101 times really make a difference? You've done it 100 times. This poor husband has titanium rods fusing his spine together. He's clinging to life. She is his Florence Nightingale. Are you really going to hump his Florence Nightingale?
I almost hate to do this to you, my son, but first of all, the difference between 100 and 101. Do you remember that famous movie, 100 Dalmatians?
Yes.
I don't. I remember 101 Dalmatians.
Uh-huh.
Because the one made all the difference in the world.
That's true.
Secondly, I happen to be of a certain age where I am advancing, and some of these women that I have met lately are very, very young, and I've had the conversations with, you know, when I die, you'll deserve the second half of your life. This woman may love this man and may have to leave him in bed with no one to flip him over because he gets bed sores and needs to be taken care of. Unless there is a man disinterested enough to service her physically so she can, in fact, be Florence Nightingale for the man she married, for the man she loves, and can no longer satisfy her physical needs. You are doing this family an entire favor. You are probably saving this family's life and not leaving a lonely woman and a bedridden man alone. She can come home a satisfied woman from being with a fine man like you and take care of the man she pledged her love to.
All right, Ryan.
Doing the right thing.
The decision is yours, my son. Let's see, Nick over here. Nick.
About 100 Dalmatians.
Yes, what's going on?
Poignant. Nick.
That's true.
Yes, sir.
You want to know if you should hook up with a porn star?
Yeah, well, I've been trying to talk to her for a little bit, and you know, I didn't know she was a porn star, and on top of it, she's my neighbor, and through a mutual friend, I found out that she is a porn star. And
I take it you're a virgin.
Right. The belly ring and the hypodermic hanging out of her arm didn't clue you into that? And then and the 9-inch acrylic wedgies that she wears when she washes her van did not?
Also, how many colors is her hair?
All right. Let's do this. Nick, my friend. This is a porn star, and the reason she got into porn is because she was abused. That's right. Physically, mentally, sexually, I guarantee there's abuse in her past. She does not need one more person to lust after her flesh, have an unholy union with her, and then move along and discard her. What she needs is a serious man, a man that sees her. Not the porn star, man that can see through the kissing potion and glitter to her soul. Nick from Riverside, I dare say that's not you. Not now. Not at this stage, young Nick. Nick, your intentions aren't pure. Your loins are not true. Leave her alone and move on to a nice girl. Devil Danny.
I hate to concur in any way, shape, or form with my adversary, but the devil would never get involved or even allow anyone to be beneath them. We are the low of the low, and that's how we survive. Because the decent people that work hard and play by all the rules is a disguise for being weak. And being down in the filth and the muck and the mire and doing anything there is to get out is where the real strength of American fiber lays. It lays in the man willing to do anything to get ahead. And in this case, that has an entirely different implication. What you need to do is you need to find out if this woman is beneath you by getting her beneath you. You immediately need to find out her value. If she is an advent to your good time, she does not count. She gave herself up. She doesn't belong. She's your toy or she's not. But it's up to you, not her. She gives herself away cheaply. She barely deserves your time, let alone your fluids.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears. Nice job, Danny Bonaducci.
You kind of scared me a couple times, Angel. I don't hate it. It doesn't resonate with me for Adam to make sense when he's the angel. Just like I don't get it. He might as well be speaking Chinese.
Well,
but a couple times he had me, I was going, God, that's really the right thing.
Do you agree with Danny on times as well? And that's why they call it Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Angel Adam.
Give the devil his due.
Devil Danny.
First of all, I think God hates you.
Hold on.
I am not done giving advice yet.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into Maxim's 100 Hot List, which just came out. And I think our good friend Sarah Silverman's on the cover.
Yeah, she is.
Really?
Number 29. I'd like to put a 6 in front of that 9 and see what we get. We will also play one of her Crank Anchor calls. So, little Maxim Hot List and a Crank Anchor call next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Scientology.
Now you're just f***ing with me.
That was Adam Explains Scientology to 1780s Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I have before me the Maxim's Hot 100 list.
It starts off with, like, the top crazy list.
Lindsay Lohan, Jessica Alba, number two, Scarlett Johansson.
Any yes or no's on the way down?
Well, okay, Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Fine, nothing wrong with her, but not number one.
No.
Jessica Alba is withering away because she's doing what every chick in Hollywood does, which is she stopped eating about 3 years ago, and there's no bosom left, and there's no hips left. She just looks good in pictures now because she's underweight. Scarlett Johansson, I dig her, but I don't know. I've had an ass full of her. And Christina Aguilera. See, Scarlett Johansson, Christina Aguilera, not tall enough. You got to be over 5'5 to make this list.
Why don't you just bite me right now?
Jessica Biel, yes.
Yes.
Eva Mendes, yes. Eva Longoria is number 9. Cute. Fergie, number 10. I S you not, Beeble. Fergie tried to pick me up at a party, thus she shouldn't be on anyone's list. That's how low my self-esteem
is. Well, how do you put Fergie ahead of Angelina Jolie, who comes in at number 12?
Well, this is why you can't trust these lists. And then there's Ashley Simpson. And I'm not sure where the other Simpson is.
Jessica.
But Jessica Simpson, I don't know if you've seen Jessica Simpson lately. She has 6 or 8 layers of spray tan on her and has done her eyes up like a raccoon.
So is Fergie. Fergie has like her makeup done with a spatula now.
Tan is healthy. Orange is Teletubby.
Right.
It's weird, people.
It's not the gay Teletubby, but it's still certainly a Teletubby.
Yeah, you know this thing where they say, like, you can't be too thin, too rich, or too tan? Evidently, you can be too tan.
Yeah.
When you start looking like a Cheeto, you can be too tan.
3 weeks ago, I was verging on finding out if I was too rich.
Take half of that away.
Got to be 5'5" to be on the list.
By the way, your girl Catherine McPhee, number 47.
Yeah, should be up higher on that list. Amy Smart, cute, but she's number 31.
Sarah Connor.
Ashley Olsen, 37, but where's her twin?
I know, the twin doesn't make it. What's the difference? They're twins.
I think they did that so they would kill each other in their New York apartment.
No, it's because Mary-Kate carries a little baggage that the other one doesn't.
But wait a minute. This is just pure aesthetics, right?
Yeah, it's a hot list.
At times, Mary-Kate gets so thin, you have the same problem whether you have with Jessica Alba. So it depends on what picture they were getting.
Danica Patrick, the race car driver, let me explain. Hot for a race car driver.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
All these other chicks don't do anything. She does something for a living and hot for that, but not hot for a model or an actress.
Remember, do you remember Mia St. John, the boxer?
Yeah.
Made way more money in Playboy and stuff than boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally the hottest boxer ever. Hottest chick ever? Not nearly.
Yes. These chicks are all model / actresses, or as I like to call, mattress. Would you please pick that up, society, and run with it? My mattress decree. And then there's, let's see, who else do we have? Kelly Ripa. I don't know. Bone skinny.
You know why I got bone? Possibly the sweetest girl I've ever met. I've known her forever, and she's so nice. I can't bring myself to say anything cruel about her. But
my mom has sweet friends too. They're not going to make the list.
I hugged her at the TV Guide Awards. She was the host, and I was the backstage.
Shot
host.
Out like a bar.
Oh my God! There's nothing to that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look.
Three kids, too.
We keep talking about, you know, Tyra Banks is crying on her show every 10 seconds about everyone being too thin and about society and what have you. This list is a big bag of bones.
I know.
I mean, you know, you got Ashley Simpson and you have, you know, Kelly Ripa and now Jessica Alba. I mean, there's no meat on any of these bones on here. And guys like meat on the bones. We like bosoms and we like hips.
It's true. Even Angelina Jolie's gotten very thin lately.
Yeah. We want to date teenage boys. We'll go over to my junior high.
But what
no,
is
I'm saying let's go.
No, I'm with you. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a weight, though? I mean, if you're not advocating the size 0 hangs off you, what are you advocating when you say some meat on your bones? Do you know anything about women's sizes?
I do know something about women's sizes.
Where do they get too big for you? Where it's unattractive and you think, that, you know, shed a few?
Well, I don't like a big caboose, but what happens is the women see their face looking puffy on camera, even though it's not. The camera makes them look puffy, and so they shed all the weight to get their face looking good. Meanwhile, they shed the boobs and the ass, and every guy I know likes a little boobs and ass.
Yeah.
Little cushion for the
attached to you, as long as they're boobs and ass.
Beyonce Knowles is number 13. She has both.
That's right. And our aforementioned, before we went to break, Sarah Silverman, who I saw on Saturday. And
she has brain
points.
I must
say, just as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. I keep waiting for her to go nuts, and she isn't. She's one of the nicest people I've ever met. She's complimentary. She's a genius and looks amazing.
That'd be weird that Adam and I hadn't liked the same girl, because in a lot of ways we're very, very, very different. And where he'd be waiting for her to go psycho, but she just won't, I'd be waiting for her to go psycho just because she just might. Just every now and again, just once a month, I would like my girlfriend or wife to jump out of the closet with a pair of scissors screaming for no reason.
Ironically, you say once a month because that's about how often it seems to happen at the Corolla house.
I just like that. Yeah, it's not dull if they're trying to kill you every now and again.
Well, I told you we'd play a Sarah Silverman Cranky Anchors ditty, but we're plumb out of time. No. We need to take a break, don't worry. We'll play it tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, you can see her on Maxim magazine. She's on the cover.
That's
looking
right.
Hot.
And no masturbating. She's my buddy's girl. Leave that to me.
I'll do it on purpose now.
Well, plumb out of time, but just enough time left to thank Pamela Druckerman, Lust in Translation, name of her book, and Chuck Barris, The Big Question, name of his book. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
I'm a short guy with a raspy voice and red hair.